Blog Talk Radio.
Some people try to pick up girls, get called an asshole. This never happened to Pablo Picasso. Why, he could walk down the street, girls could not resist his stare. Pablo Picasso was never called an asshole. Not like you. The girl would turn the color of an avocado when he'd drive down the street in his Eldorado. Why, he was only 5'3". Girls could not resist his stare. Pablo Picasso was never called an asshole. That's New York. Girls get called an asshole. This did not happen to Pablo Picasso. Why, he could walk down the street, girls could not resist his stare.
Yeah.
Subsequently, Pablo Picasso was never called an asshole. Nope. Not around here. Not like you.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh dear.
Let us get rolling.
We interrupt this program to annoy you and make things generally irritating.
The BBC would like to apologize for the following announcement.
It's clobbering time.
Yeah.
To the Batmobile. Let's go.
Atomic batteries to power. Turbines to speed.
You're ready to move up.
Yeah. Welcome, everyone. We got enough. Yeah, we waited long enough. We usually wait a few minutes before we get started. Sometimes when we're waiting, because a lot of people don't make it right away or they don't get here right on time. Like Matthew. But that's all right. Lizzie, by the way, I hope you are hearing me, dear, because I have no sound checker tonight. Tex is not with me. He is, of course, out there being responsible, working. So, hey, what can you do? I suppose I am being heard. I don't know. Well, Lizzie, let me know if... Yeah, I am. Well, there we go. Thank you there. And by the way, Lizzie, whenever you are of a mind to, would love to have you call in. And anyone else out there who listening on the feeds or whatever, we don't usually give the number out that much because we usually just do stream of conscious or unconsciousness, Matthew and myself or Flash and myself. But anyone out there who might be listening on the feeds, the number is 347-308-8251, if you're in the U.S. anyway, of course. You can just Skype at us. Either way, whatever works. But Matthew, we don't know about him. We're hoping he might join us. But hopefully our great friend, the lovely Lizzie, will be joining us because we have had her on the show before, and it is always a delight to talk Doctor Who and many other things we've talked about as well. And, of course, Mike get a little Dragon Con talk in as well. Dragon Con 2014 is this week in Atlanta, Georgia. Where else would it be? And I shall be taking to the dangerous roads to attend, of course. Yes, I will be going to Dragon Con Thursday, I do believe. So... And again, Matt may join us whenever he is able to. I don't know, what's going on with him, but when he does, he will join us in progress because I know he has a lot to say about Doctor Who. Before I get started, of course, this is Clobbering Time, issue number 499. Yes, that's right. I don't really understand it myself why I've been allowed to do 498, apparently 400, now 499 of these terrible things that they call podcasts. Well, Clobber Time podcast anyway. However, for 498 times, Clobber Time has come at you from the Baxter Building basement, which is, of course, secretly located on the Isle of Misfit Toys and solely owned and operated by the Legion of Doom and its secret security branch, the Kirby Commandos, over which I, Ben J. Grimm, the M11 brown-eyed thing, proudly preside as Supreme Commandant and Absolute Ruler, and you will obey me in all things. Obviously, you really won't, but I like saying it. It makes me feel better, even though we all know it's not going to happen. And, of course, my great, fantastic retro-blasting buddies, Michael and Melinda, will be at Dragon Con performing all four, count them, four panels of various types. A couple with other folks, and they're going to do a couple on their own, or one, I think one of them is going to be on their own. But anyway, I can't wait to see them. Michael and Melinda, love you guys, and always just always miss them, always can't wait to see them. So that's going to be great. It's well, I'll talk a little about Dragon Con later. I'll get some. By the way, but I will say, anyone up front, anyone who has not, anyone who does not know, but is attending Dragon Con, really, even if you're not, it's kind of cool. The Dragon Con app for your smartphone, iPhone, or Droid. Android is really, really cool. You can download that and, you know, see all the things that are going on at Dragon Con coming up this weekend. So, joining us tonight, hey, Greatest American Hero Rick popped in. Great to see you, my friend. Let me see if this thing is working correctly. Am I speaking to Lizzie?
Yes. Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you. Great to have you call in. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Well, no problem.
How are you?
I'm fine. A little bit tired, but that's to be expected.
Yeah. Well, it is quite late in your neck of the woods over there across the big pond, right?
Yeah, definitely.
As they say. Well, again, I really appreciate you calling in. And, you know, that Matthew boy better wake up, huh? What's his deal? Just got tired or something? I know he meant to be here.
No, he's been, like, up for ages, and he was playing, like, the season final of the Walking Dead game as well, so he was completely knackered after that. So he just, you know, told me he was going to take a nap, and he was going to wake up just in time for the show, which is obviously a huge lie. So
I understand. Well, yeah, he might make it in, but yeah, look, he has some very very strong opinions on the new Doctor Who premiere episode, Peter Capaldi. So Capaldi, and I want to. I'm very interested in hearing what he has to say. But we will push on and carry on without him until, you know, and, you know, hopefully he'll pop in at some point. You know?
Yeah, because who wouldn't want to listen to him blabbering on about what was or was not wrong with Doctor Who this time?
No, yeah, absolutely. What we'll do, though, however, like I say, we can soldier on without him. You know, because we're resourceful like that. Well, we'll just dive right into it. Last night, I of course, like the rest, I mean, all Whovians, unless they're completely indisposed and unable to make it for whatever reason. Obviously, by the way, welcome, Almighty Sports Show. Great to see you, my friend. Always a pleasure. Dan Robertson of the Expert Comics website, everyone. By the way, you can find it on the Baxter Building Basement Facebook group for Clobber and Time page. And go to the great site, Expert Comics. Has anything you're looking for blog-wise with comics and stuff like that, and it's really a great place. Good to see you, Dan. But, yeah, I think in most Whovians, unless they're really, you know, they're really indisposed, watched the episode Saturday, either over there, you know, across the pond, in its, you know, when it premiered, or over here on BBC America, or if you're like myself who hates BBC America because the picture's not all that great and they run commercials. Lizzie, I don't know if you understand the true horror of having to watch Doctor Who with commercials.
Oh, I kind of do.
You've seen that then, eh?
Not necessarily Doctor Who, but I just hate watching TV in general with commercials. That's why I'd, like, wait for the DVDs or wait a couple of days so I can just watch it, like, as a whole instead of having all this, you know, all these pauses that are unnecessary.
Yeah. Well, again, over there, as I recall, as it's always been, right, I mean, you have commercials, but they're in between the actual viewings of the program, right before and after.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, BBC America interrupts it every 5 seconds. What we do is we wait for a download, and, you know, the whole world's downloading it from the BBC for that very reason as well, or a lot of people.
Yeah.
Or so we wait for a torrent. And usually, by the time Within about an hour or two before it airs over here, you know, we can get a much clearer torrent download copy that we can watch, and we don't have to watch it on the commercial-ridden BBC America, but we have that backup in case something happens that we're not allowed to get it, not able to get it. There you go, Rick. 4-minute commercials. It's really annoying. Ever since 2005, and by the way, you know, Lizzie, when the show was brought back in 2005, Rose, the first episode, leaked to the internet about 2 weeks early. And so I was able to watch it like over and over again before the actual show started. But not only that, you know, it was many years later before the show did, you know, before it even ran the same day at all. For a few years, Eccleston and a few years of Tenet, it would be months to a year before we would even get episodes aired over here. So if you didn't download them online,
you didn't get them. Yeah.
Right. You didn't see it. So and then, then many years later when the thing started to catch fire, you know, then of course they started showing it. So, but now of course it's instantaneous, almost instantaneous. You know, it's like 6 hours later, and it's aired here too. A testament to how big the show is now, certainly. So, but nevertheless, in spite of you know watching it Saturday, I went to the movie theater last night, which they aired in movie theaters here last night. Did you all get movie theater showings over there?
Sometimes. I didn't go to the theater. I just sat in my in my room and watched it.
Oh, I got you. But I'm saying it did play in some places over there, I'd imagine, in theater.
Yeah, I think it did.
Gotcha. Well, last night it was kind of there was a really funny opening pre-opening thing for with Strax and Vaster and Jenny. But other than that, all you got was a little bit of a little making of thing afterwards, but. Mm-hmm. Anyway, on to the episode Deep Breath, which those of you who are here and, of course, and out there listening, you know that Doctor Who has returned with the new Doctor, Peter Capaldi. It's been over a year since he was announced. Feels like yesterday he was announced, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Give me your initial take and initial thoughts on this episode, please.
My initial thoughts? Very, very short. I didn't like it, but I didn't dislike it, I guess, is the best way of explaining my thoughts and feelings towards it. Like, some things were good and some things were bad, and a few more were bad than good, so it was okay, but it wasn't, like, amazing.
Pretty much there with you. I mean, I'm not like Matthew, whom, in case he doesn't make it, everyone, big spoiler shock there, Matt did not like it at all. I should think you know.
He did really not like it.
And that's why I was really looking forward to him going off on it, and I still hope he does make it. Yeah, it's always fun. It's clobbered time. It's what we do here. It's why we have me and I get along so
well. He's going to tear the show a new one.
I cannot wait. And we will allow him the opportunity to do so anytime he is able. however, I was, I was one of the ones. I couldn't wait to talk about it. Did you know that about a month or so ago, the episode leaked to the internet?
Yeah, I heard that.
It was in black and white, and none of the CGI wasn't all added in there.
Yeah.
And like an idiot, I watched it. And. The problem is, I don't care about the production. You know, it's always, in fact, kind of interesting to see it that way. But what aggravated me is, like, I watch it and I go, oh, wait a minute. I can't talk to anybody about this yet because it hasn't aired. So all the things I want to talk about, I can't, you know what I'm saying? It's like, well, you got to hold off until everyone else has seen it. And I was telling Matt about it. I was like, God damn it, dude, I want to talk about this so bad. And, you know, he had not seen it yet. So I had to wait. So I'm glad it's arrived and everyone has seen it now. We're not hurting anyone spoiler-wise now. I'm kind of with you there. I tell you what, transition episodes or starter episodes or intro episodes, whatever you want to call them, intros to a new Doctor are always problematic at best, except for the 11th Hour. I mean, the 11th Hour, I think, is the best of all of them for me.
Yeah, kind of. I was really impressed by, like, the 11th Hour and... one of my favorites has always been, like, Rose as well, but this one was really, lacking a lot of things, so.
it's tough to introduce a doctor with a great story. So I was thinking back. I've been actually do a show on it one day. I was thinking back about that, and I was thinking, well, you know, it seems to be tough. However, maybe not. I guess it's like anything else. It's a little hit or miss. An intro doctor story, for lack of a better thing to call it. But like any other, they're almost like a show unto themselves, really, because they're not really like a normal episode. You don't really see, right now we know, I mean, I thought Capaldi was excellent, but we don't know that persona. We don't know the persona of his doctor yet, completely.
No.
You get a little snippet at the end, a little bit.
Definitely, yeah.
But every time he becomes the doctor, of course, he's very different. That he's going, he's kind of nutty. He's always going crazy, with a few exceptions, I think. So, yeah, you have to wait a little bit. Other than Rose, of course, he'd already, you know, there was no really regeneration fallout there. Even though he makes a slight little comment by looking in the mirror to indicate that maybe he just generated.
Yeah.
Dan, I don't know about. Wow. There are a lot of adverts on BTR. You're right, Dan. I'm not sure about it, but I've tried to get on it. It depends upon your browser, possibly. But, yeah, it's really annoying. Sorry, Brent. Sorry about that, bro. It just depends on a browser. Maybe it's the browser or whatever. But I have had that happen to me when I'm programming a show sometimes. It's ridiculous. But on that, then I think about it. I'm like, there have been some very good introductory episodes, and so far, since the show came back in 2005, I think they were all really good until this one. I mean, Rose.
Mm-hmm.
I liked the Christmas Invasion a lot. I don't know if a lot of people did or not, but I thought that was a pretty good story, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
11th Hour is my all-time favorite intro episode, so. But before that, I mean, there were some problematic ones, I guess. But really, either way, you can't really judge it like a normal episode. You know, you have to kind of, like I said, I'm not really, even though I have a lot of misgivings about this episode, I'm not in any way distressed yet. But there were some Moffat-y things in there, and I know Matt has a lot to say. I know Matt has a lot to say about that.
I think a lot of people have a lot to say about that. So, yeah.
Oh, my God, yeah. He was not happy. And some of his criticisms, I kind of agree with, and that was some of the things I wanted to go over with you. Again, I liked it a little bit better when I went to the theater to see it last night.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of enjoyed it a little bit more, but it is a paper-thin story if you think about it. For starters.
Yeah.
But, you know, one of the things I wanted to ask you about on this, did you think maybe some of the writing was, as Blackadder would say, was about as subtle as a rhinoceros horn up the backside? In terms of, a year ago when Peter Capaldi was announced.
Yeah. That was already a year ago. Jesus.
Can you believe it was a year ago?
I was watching the live announcement and being so excited about Capaldi, and now he's, you know, done his first episode. Jesus.
I can't. That's scary. Scary in of itself right there that it was a year ago. But, you know,
what gets
me about that is there was a lot of backlash. Again, all of the controversy that for the first time in three tries, they have not cast a young man as the doctor. There's been a lot of infighting in fandom in terms of a lot of people are dumping on what they quote unquote the fangirls, as they call them, when it's not fair necessarily, because I know for a fact there were a lot of fangirls who were fine with the casting, but some of them didn't like it because he wasn't young.
Yeah, definitely. Which is why the specifically the Vale scene in the show with between Bastra and Clara was such a, I don't know, it was about as subtle as, what was it you said, a rhinoceros or whatever?
Yes, as like a rhinoceros horn up the backside.
Yeah.
Thanks, Dad.
It was about as subtle as that. It was definitely, that scene was nothing but fan service. And I kind of like it, but still, I'm like, oh, this scene is like one hair out of place and everything collapses. But,
well,
yeah,
I'm torn about it. On the one hand, you want to go, yeah, you tell him. On the other hand,
definitely.
Like, really, dude? How?
Yeah.
It's almost like you're going, what are you, Moffat, are you 12 years old or something?
Well,
I mean, seriously, first...
Kind of.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I'm 12, but I'm not writing Doctor Who. Maybe, yeah. But thing is, you know, also it's really disingenuous to the character of Clara, because how inconsistent was that? Remember, Clara, more than any companion ever, has seen all of the Doctors. She's seen all the Doctors.
Yeah, definitely.
So she...
Which is why it's ridiculous, because she's seen him, you know, old before. She more or less remembers, or at least we think she does. So why freak out over a new face? That kind of...
Well, she definitely... Right, she definitely interacted with the War Doctor.
Yeah, definitely.
So I guess maybe they're trying to say, oh, yeah, but she expected him to start out young and get older. And not only that, she just got through seeing him on Trenzalore. But she's I guess you could, if, you know, devil's advocate, you could make the case, yeah, but she expected him to start out young and get older. Like, and look how many years it took for the Matt Smith Doctor to get older, by the way. So I guess she expected that. And that would be their excuse, I guess. I'm speaking for them. I don't know. Nevertheless, it's so not subtle. You know, he had to get down into the mud with the fangirls. Oh, let's be fair. All fangirls shouldn't be blamed for this. But the ones who were nasty about it, like, I remember they had, like, videos, people that circulated on Facebook of young girls. You know, I'd never forget the one. It was some, I mean, she was pretty young, though. She was saying, like, when they showed Capaldi, she was going, oh, my God, he's ugly. He's ugly, and all this, calling him ugly. He's ugly.
How dare they?
He's ugly. I mean, you know, again, I'm a dude, so all dudes are ugly to me, so I can't know. I mean, is he or is he not? I don't know.
No, he's not ugly.
Well,
not to me, anyway.
There you go. He's just not a young pretty boy, which is what she was looking for. But the thing is,
exactly.
A lot of people really, really went after this, you know, the girl who did that, and, you know, and were really pissed off. And I was at first like, you know, well, that's a shame. I'm like, come on, guys, it's a young girl. You know, give her a break. She's a kid.
She doesn't know any better.
Really, absolutely. She's a kid. It's a shame. But, you know, hey, it wasn't nice of her to say that, but really, it's that big of a deal. But a lot of fans and fandom were really, really angry. They were like, yes, I'm glad they cast an old guy to piss off all those young girls who want. And it was sort of like the reverse. Just as the people who are shallow and wanted to be a pretty boy are wrong for watching the show for that reason, the people who don't like that went overboard with the, yeah, stick it to them. In other words, they wouldn't have cared if you'd cast Abe Vigoda. If you cast Abe, and that's an obscure reference, I guess, but, I mean, you know, he's like 115, and he's still alive, so bless him. You know, they wouldn't, if the older the better, just to piss off fangirls. Well, you know. And again, I say fangirls as if they're all like that. So I took to the internet when I saw that video, and I was like, you know, is it really that big of a deal? People were really freaking out of it. So, and there were a lot of reaction videos to the casting, and someone said, yeah, there are a lot of girls on Facebook or on YouTube freaking out over him being old and stuff. So I went and looked. I looked at a lot of reaction videos because people film themselves reacting to things these days.
Well, reaction videos are always fun, so.
Yeah, exactly. Did you do that, by the way? Did you film yourself reacting?
I did not, but I probably should have, because I'm a mini Capaldi fan, as in I don't show it often, but I'm like, I loved him in The Thick of It and one of his smaller roles as one of the parents in the Skins show. He played, like, a really angry parent. And he was, like, one of his son at one point, you know, kind of goes, like, why are you talking in very short sentences? And he's, like, emphasis, drama, fuck off. And he's, like, very angry. And I was, like, oh, you're perfect So when he was cast as the Doctor, you know, I was like, it's a dream come true. Oh, my God. I was so excited. And a lot of people that I know were excited as well. So to have that, you know, half the fan base at least kind of go, oh, but he's too old. I was kind of, eh. It's, that's your problem, not mine. So.
Well, exactly. There's a thing. But it happened. Okay, there were people who were. There were some people who were, but I don't think it was a big number. And let's face it, a lot of Doctor Who fans were angry about that. They're like, hey, he's a great actor, get over it. And then there are other ones who were the other there in the other direction. They wouldn't watch Matt Smith because he was too young to them.
Mm-hmm.
You never heard them say that about.
He had this sort of ageless. Yeah. Thing that he brought to the screen that was actually really good. So.
Oh, he was brilliant, and he made you believe that was a gazillion-year-old Time Lord in that body, and that was brilliant of him. I mean, to me, he's the best thing about his run to me, because the stories had, more often than not, I had, you know, lots of issues with the stories and the writing, but I stayed with it because, I mean, he's great to watch as the Doctor, but they all leave. And the thing is about this one, I was really excited because what little I knew of Capaldi, I knew he was a great actor, and that's all I cared about. Also, because he has been young for a few incarnations now, it does make for an interesting story dynamic that he's going to deal with this.
Yeah.
I don't know that you write it into the story in that fashion, though. I don't know, you're not even subtle. It was basically about, I mean, why didn't I almost expected a scene of Capaldi standing up there with a sign saying, if you don't like it, fan girls, get fuckety fuck, you fucks.
definitely.
That's how it was written. And they used Clara because they had who else were they going to use?
Yeah, definitely.
And it's just really, do you have to write that into the story? I mean, I can understand some elements maybe. But, I mean, then at the end, they double down on, I'm not your boyfriend. Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Really? That's not
see,
that's
see,
not
I
that
hated
subtle.
That line. Not the I'm not your boyfriend thing. It's when he says, you know, it was not her fault, but his. I was kind of, you dickhead. What?
Yeah.
No.
I'm with you there. When I'm watching that the first time, and now that I've seen it, I guess, three times, every time I'm like, you know, that's cringe writing, because I'm like, geez, really, dude? That's an argument outside of the show. You know, if fans want to yell and scream at each other about it, that's one thing.
Mm-hmm.
But to actually incorporate it into the show is just, I question it big time. And that was like Moffat trying to stick his finger in their eye, like, ha, there you go. You like that, and we're going to use Clara for that.
It was kind of like Moffat going, well, we've heard you, you know, ship them for years. Like if it's not Clara, it's Amy, it's Rose, it's someone else, and they're usually, like, not too far apart, but now you can't ship them, and now we're going to explain why, and we're going to tell you that he's really not a romantic kind of guy now. And I don't know, it just kind of flipped the character on his head, and I didn't really like that much. It was kind of, again, Moffat full of himself.
I'm with you. It's not really needed. If you were going to do that, how about just get rid of Clara right away?
Because
get rid of, she's leaving at the end of, but they've sullied the character in my view. But my son hates Clara, not quite as bad as Matt. Not as bad as Matthew hates Amy.
Yeah, I was about to say Matt hates Clara.
Oh, does he hate Clara too? Matt's a hater.
Yeah, a little bit.
Matthew, if you're hearing this, and I think he woke up. I saw his Facebook thing he flashed on for a second.
But I texted him, and he's not responding, so he might just be, I don't know.
Maybe he'll wake up eventually. But that all that stuff is the worst part of the episode. There's still a lot of fun things in it, but also, I don't know, I guess here's the problem. When you can't write just an episode that is about him getting used to regeneration. You always have to. Matt's online. He's coming soon, I guess. You always have to write a story in there. What's that?
Yeah.
Well, I guess you have to have a villain anyway, even though he's regenerated.
Mm-hmm.
And this felt the whole thing felt a little bit. We got to introduce him somehow, We've put it together in a phony way. Like, not that it wasn't entertaining in spots. It was entertaining in spots, but
I
got the feeling that they were like, look, we got to get him introduced somehow. Let's just get it over with. We'll do it some kind of way. Then we'll start over. And, man, we're jumping right into it with Daleks, aren't we?
Yeah, definitely. Like, I was kind of just waiting for it. Like, okay, any second. It's going to be one of the first two episodes. It has to be Daleks because, you know, the Doctor apparently can't function without... No, scratch up. Moffat can't function without Daleks. So... It would have to be one of the first couple of episodes.
It really is. And it may be overdone, but without Daleks, we wouldn't have Doctor Who. So I guess it's kind of...
Yeah. Show it's become so iconic, so it wouldn't be right without them. Or at least that episode.
Not necessarily sure they have to start right out the box, but hey, I mean, you know, he did last time. It was he waited two episodes. with Matt, but... So,
they did. That's right. With the World War II episode,
Right. Victory of the Daleks. There you go, Matthew. Matt, hey, man. Call in, my brother. If you, you're awake, huh, buddy? We cannot wait to hear you weigh in on this episode that you adored so much called Deep Breath. He can't wait. Oh, man. And so, well, when he pops in, when he's able to make the connection, if we'll get him on here. I thought, Lizzie, that, again, what little Capaldi is in the episode almost, he is excellent. In other words, the least surprising thing of all is that he is excellent and he's going to be fine. There's no question about it. I wouldn't mind some of those elements that you and I talked about, them stressing, look, I'm older. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And by the way, I can understand addressing it to a point because you kind of don't want there to be anything like, all right, look, he's so much older than her. Are they going to start the flirting stuff again? Some of that stuff isn't so bad. Like, you may as well flirt with a mountain type thing.
Yeah.
But, man.
Yeah,
I kind of thought
that line actually was pretty cringeworthy. She's like, I'm the one that can probably flirt with a mountain range. I was like, yeah, maybe you can, but that doesn't mean you should.
Yeah, exactly. She could flirt with a mountain. So what are you saying here, Clara? You like older men, huh? I guess that's what she's saying. And yet,
no,
what
according
is it? And
to
then,
like a lot of people interpreted like the scene where Strax is looking her over that she's like into what was it, gay guys, gay porn or something because of the guys doing sport.
Right. Yeah, it was sport. So, yeah, it was some kind of.
Yeah,
it was
we
some
don't
kind
know
of
what
porn.
She's into.
You're right. Yeah, that's another thing. I'm like, wait a minute. Is she into the older, rough and tumble, older guys and mountains, or is she into, well, I guess, like you say, not to put too fine a point on it, is she into gay porn? What is it? Which one is it? Hey, do we want to know?
That is the real question. Do we want to know? Answer, no, maybe not so much.
Yeah, there was a creepy vibe to it, in a sense. I'm like, wow. I guess he felt the need to deal with it right off. Flash is here even. What's up, Flasher? What's up, man? Good to see you, buddy. And we'll be nice to Flash tonight, even though he's not a Doctor Who fan, so therefore may not really deserve to live, but we'll let him live just a little.
Be nice.
You're right. We'll let him live. You're right. We should be nice and let him live. So. Flash,
just
you get to live.
Get to you.
Lizzie saved your life, Flash. You get to live a little bit longer. So.
I don't know for how long, so behave.
No, basically, Flash, your life is in her hand, in her hands there. The whole thing, Lizzie, all that Clara stuff and all that boyfriend tension stuff really was for me, it was a little uncomfortable, to be honest, and damaged the episode, I think.
It was uncomfortable. I was actually really getting tired of her throughout the episode. I was like, okay, it's not like she's getting too much screen time, but she kind of was, if you know what I mean. She was kind of like getting too much screen. It's supposed to be, you know, a story of the Doctor and how his regeneration affects the people around him. And with the 11th Hour, it worked. That Amy had a lot of screen time because she was a new companion, which means she was, you know, just introduced. So we get to go through her you know, story. But with Clara, we already know her, so the whole, like, the whole timeline of, like, her coming to terms with a new face, it should work, but I think it should work over a more like a 2-3 episode arc instead of just everything crammed into one, because it kind of made it, it made the episode weak. If they had stretched it out and, like, addressed it little by little, it might have worked, but had to have it all at once kind of made it, it was too much for me to have it all at once, really.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree. And it, so much so that you can tell the whole robots thingy, I mean, was just, look, they were sitting around going, well, we need to deal with this issue right off about whether the companion's going to be interested in him or not. He's too old for her. We need to deal with that. Oh, yeah, so, all right, but what are we going to do for the rest of the episode? We've got to have him fight something, don't we? Okay, what? Daleks? No, we don't want it to be Daleks. Too much time. That takes too much time, and is not in his right mind. We don't want him fighting Daleks. What about Cybermen?
Not really.
Yeah, he's not right yet. Cybermen would be too much of a problem. How about some nothing little weird robots that are sort of related to the ones from the Madame de Pompadour ship?
Yeah,
he can take them out, and he can take them out with half his brain easily, or like a quarter of his brain in function. So it's just all so, the whole thing was so thrown together and slapped together.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of slapdash, to be honest. I think that's a big problem with it. Now, again, does that mean the rest of the season's going to be that way? I don't think so. It was almost like this episode is set up, this episode is lip service, this episode is it's sort of like construction. We're trying to build things. We're trying to build the platform to launch the show. So you guys just, you'll be, people, they probably said, look, people will be so happy the show's back, they won't give a crap what we do with this episode. And they were, they're kind of right about that, I guess, but as an episode, yeah, it's extremely weak.
Yeah, definitely.
Again,
I'm not saying anything because you've said it all, so.
What's that?
I'm not saying anything because you've said it all.
So. Oh, I got you. Well, you know, but Capaldi, though, still, it is fun watching him, again, in his scenes, but like some people said, this was kind of like the Clara show in this episode.
Yeah.
But, you know, but remember the Christmas Invasion? I thought that, I like the Christmas Invasion a lot, but you don't get a lot of Doctor in it. He's asleep most of the time, and it's all, but there was at least a pretty good story around it, I thought, about the invasion thing and some of the other stuff, and when he does pop up, he's terrific. But in 11th Hour, you know, it's, yes, you're right, Amy's in it a lot, but she's in it with him a lot.
Yeah, definitely. But that's, again, because it was an introduction of her as well, so it's okay. But, you know,
when it's
a character you already know, it's just, it's it's beating a dead horse. You're like, okay, we get it. There's something changed. Now move on, please.
Right, exactly. And it was about it was too much of an establishing thing. Matthew.
Yes, sir.
You there, buddy?
I'm here.
Good morning.
Hello. To say hello to the lovely Lizzie. She has joined us, and she has been a trooper here with you, sleeping through
everything.
I've been
holding up the fort without you, man. Where have you been?
I overslept.
I know you did.
Well, we forgive you, my brother. It's okay.
Funny thing is, I remember hearing my alarm going off and just ignoring it.
And to think you would have missed the chance for a primo rant that I know you saved up. I know you got one for us, right? Don't disappoint, man.
You know what? I'm barely awake. Doctor Who season 8 premiere was awful.
You know what?
It started out as, that wasn't so good. That was my initial thing. That was kind of bad. Then I had like a couple hours away from it, and I was like, no, that I hated that. It went from I hate it. It was the most insane switch that you've ever seen. It was like this, at a certain point I had this light switch, I was like, no, I hated that.
That's happened to me a few times.
Yeah.
You know.
Yes.
It's happened in reverse a few times, but there have been times. You know, I totally vibed to that because I'm like, there have been times when I've, yeah, that was okay. I kind of liked it.
Yeah.
Then I really liked it. Hey, Guardians of the Galaxy, I've seen it three times. The first time I saw it, I liked it. I was really cool with it. I thought it was pretty good. Saw it again. Mm-hmm. I'm like, damn, I didn't know I would like it even more this time. Three times, I want to go back. I loved it. other times I've been like, yeah, I don't know. That was kind of okay. And then I'm like, you know what? I didn't like that too much. Now that I've seen it again, I've thought about it. Now I friggin' hate it. That's happened, so I'm with you, buddy. It works in different directions, right?
Yes, yes.
Well, start off. Give us your, you know, basically, because Lizzie and I have been talking basically about some of our issues with it. I don't think we're quite on your level of hatred with it, but we both had some some pretty serious criticisms. I don't know if you heard.
Yeah.
All right.
We might have overlooked some. Just go on.
Yeah, I heard a little bit about the Clara's flirting with mountains line, which I didn't actually hear because at that point I was just fast forwarding if it wasn't about the doctor. That's how. I mean, people think that's a joke, and I say that I'm like, I'm not kidding. If he wasn't on the screen, I was fast forwarding. I did not even care. As you all probably know, I hate the goddamn Victorian Scooby gang of the potato and the lizard and the maid. I cannot stand those three.
I'm not calling them the Victorian Scooby gang just because you have. That's
I'm calling them. By the way, I did not know.
I thought everybody called him that.
No.
No. I didn't. Oh. And you've never watched Buffy, but yet you knew that you know the term Scooby gang.
Oh, well,
everyone knows Scooby gang if they've seen Scooby-Doo. Yeah.
Right, but I mean, Scooby Gang is kind of a reference to an entourage. In the sense that, you know, that's her entourage, I think. So.
Right.
And so there you go. Now, I did not know that until I saw what you wrote the other night, Matt, about your hatred for the Victorian Scooby Gang.
Yeah.
That's one of the few. I probably agree with you on most everything in the episode, but I liked them. I think they were shoehorned in. But
yeah.
I've always liked them. But you never liked them, or you just thought they were
never liked them.
Worse?
Hey, always hated them. But actually, to play perfectly fair, the reason I hate them is not necessarily because of Strax, not because of Jenny or Vastra, but it is because of Strax, because his gimmick wears thin super fast.
Mm-hmm.
The glory of the Suntaran Empire, it wears thin so super fast that I just want to rip its face off. And
I love Strax. I can't help it.
Lizzie,
what about you? You hate Strax, or?
I'm kind of torn because on the one hand he's like, you know, he threw, you know, the newspaper in Clara's face, which you kind of deserved, and you know, on other times he's like okay, but then you know the scene where he falls from that window thing. When they're supposed to save Clara and the Doctor,
right.
I'm kind of like, well, now you're just nothing but comedic relief, and it's not supposed to be comedic relief. It's supposed to be, you know, a sci-fi show that has comedic elements, but not, like, every fucking second. So stand up straight, you know, and stop being stupid. So I don't know. I'm kind of torn, but, yeah, I don't know. I think I'm actually leaning towards, you know, your opinions of him, Matt. He's getting too annoying.
Well, the falling thing, that falling thing was the thing that really probably annoyed me the most about him. And usually I laugh at his nonsense because he's coming from a Suntaran, but the falling thing, that whole stupid scene when they're coming down on those, you know, when they're supposed to be such badasses. By the way, they're such badasses, but then they get cornered by stupid robots that can barely move. And he's got goddamn blast. He's got a blaster, but we're supposed to believe they're going to kill him.
Yeah.
Definitely.
That's another thing. He's a Suntaran warrior against these ancient, shitty robots, and they're dead. Mm-hmm. You know, hold your breath. Oh my God! Shut up, Malphite. A Suntaran should be able to slaughter those robots, right or wrong?
Right.
Yeah, but see, that's why it worked when it was just Clara holding her breath. I thought that was actually pretty good.
That's
where
fine.
She's,
yeah.
You know, holding her breath for like. How long and going through that whole way, but when it's like, you know, you have two aliens and one human, two aliens and two humans holding their breath and, you know, even doing like lesbian lip service, you know, thank you for that.
It was asinine.
You kind of go, well, that scene becomes very, very, very stupid very fast.
Right. You have a badass Silurian with a sword, a Sontaran with a blaster, and, you know, I guess Jenny, at least ostensibly, can handle herself, and yet these slow-ass, stupid robots with swords, swords for arms, are a problem.
Yep.
And they're going to die if they don't hold their breath. Oh, shut up. Shit like that's pretty annoying. Was that kind of getting on your nerves, Matt? Stuff like, you're already dead by that point anyway, weren't you?
Oh, by that point I was fast-forwarding.
How much
anything,
episode did you watch?
Everything that had the Doctor in it. If Capaldi wasn't on screen, I was like, I'm all over this.
In other words, like 20 to 15 minutes.
Yeah, basically 15
Max.
Minutes.
Max. If that. I mean.
Yeah.
He is really good though.
He's amazing.
Yeah. Loved every moment that he was on screen. Actually loved the bedroom scene where he's like, everyone is speaking English and it's not working out, and Bash just starts speaking Scottish, and he's like, oh, thank fuck. You know, I actually liked that. That was kind of funny.
Oh, God, that was great.
Yeah.
And, you know, very predictable, but everyone knew he was going to be predictably good. But they're going to, let's hope, and I was saying this to Lizzie, Matt, before you showed up. It was really, really like they were saying, look, we got to get him introduced. Let's phone it in, and you know, because
right.
we got to have, you know, in other words, we can't just have them sitting around him going nutty in and of itself. We have to have some kind of silly faux story where he has to have a monster to fight also, because in every opening story he does fight something, which is true.
Yeah,
fair enough.
And it shouldn't be a Dalek.
and you don't want it to be a Dalek. The only Doctor who was tough enough to fight Daleks for his first time out was, of course, second Doctor.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll never see that. It's the only intro story that doesn't exist.
Right.
Damn it. And intro stories, I was thinking, you know, I kind of backtracked on this, Matt. I was thinking, you know, intro stories are always a problem. But like anything else, that's not entirely true. There have been, 12 or 13, I guess, right? But, I mean, this might be the worst one. Since we'll never see Power
of the Contender.
Dalek. Really? Do you have another worst intro story?
I hate the Christmas Invasion.
Oh, really? I like that one.
Oh, man.
Wow. Did you really hate that one? Man. Okay.
I hate the Christmas Invasion.
Wow. What about you, Lizzie? Do you hate that one or no?
I don't really know. It's been so long since I've seen it, so I might have to see it again.
Yeah.
But I don't remember it as being completely awful.
Well, I think it's way better than this one, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, that's true.
Well, I still haven't watched as much Classic Who as I'd like to, but I think the best intro so far has actually been 11th Hour.
I've seen every intro story it's possible to see, and that's my number one.
Uh-huh.
But what about you, Matt? Do you have a favorite intro story?
Oh, absolutely, the 11th Hour. It was the best way you could hope to introduce a new Doctor.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Oh, but look who's called in. We have a non-Doctor Who fan on the phone.
Oh, crap.
Flash. Savior of the universe. Are you there, Flash?
Oh, am I on? I was just listening.
Oh, I'm sorry. We wanted to put you on to get your thoughts on the new Doctor Who.
He loved it.
Well, my computer was being a bag off, so I called in, and apparently I showed up.
Oh, okay. Well, you don't mind just talking about a subject that you're not interested in at all, like Doctor Who?
I'll sit here and listen.
Oh, there you go.
I'll chime in and be a dick once in a while.
That's okay. Chime in and be a dick once in a while, because we like that. It is clobber time, after all.
Dick in waiting.
Yes, there you go. There you are. We'll get some commentary on you from you for sure. Now, your son, however, I want to say, is not a happy Doctor Who fan this week. But, Matthew, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Does it, in your opinion, bode very badly for what's to come, or you just kind of like maybe there's a chance for there to be some redemption in the series, in the story?
You know,
In other words,
you know what?
Are you really downbeat about what's to come or what?
No, I mean, because, you know, the thing was, I mentioned I hate the Christmas Invasion, but then Tenant's Run I thought was fantastic.
Okay.
So, you know, intro stories do not mean a Doctor Who season will be good or bad, as we saw with Matt,
right,
who had a great intro story and a pretty run as far as the story goes. He was always fantastic, but
he carried the run.
He always was well above whatever bullshit Moffat was writing in.
Yeah.
And that boy can write
some,
and that boy can write some bullshit, can he?
Oh, yeah.
Well, before you got here, Matthew, Lizzie and I talked a little bit about, and I wanted to talk to you a little bit about this, because when I first shot out the box, what I was telling her is, look, all this crap, I know you're not a fan of Clara, is that from what I understand, is that correct?
No.
Okay. You and Jonathan, my son, have to say he hates Clara.
Does Jonathan hate Clara?
He hates her. He calls her a Mary Sue. He says she's such a Mary Sue. Do you both know what that means? Because I still don't. I had to have him explain it to me. That's how old I am. Flash, do you know what that means?
Mary Sue?
A Mary Sue.
Mary Sue.
Exactly.
No.
Okay, point taken. You and I are old. We don't know it. I need young people like my son, your son, and Lizzie to tell us what a Mary Sue is. He told me about it, and I was like, I bet Matt's going to know that term because I don't know it.
Yeah.
He said, well, he hates Clara, and I just wanted to test see if Flash had heard it. I figured it's a young geek thing, right?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
It's a fan fiction term?
Yeah, it's like, I don't remember where, I think it was a Star Trek Star Trek fan fiction, where somebody wrote this character who was like this beautiful, radiant woman, and I guess it was supposed to be her. It was like, this is me. But I also sleep with Captain Kirk, and I run the ship, and I save the day, and I defeat Klingons, and I do all this stuff, and I also sleep with Spock, and it's like, come on.
Well, do they have a name for male?
It's who the writer inserts as a way to
That's the way he explained it. So
yes, as Rick is saying,
is there a name for a male version of that, or is just women
Gary
that get accused of this? Gary Sue?
Yeah.
You're kidding, right? You're joking.
No, I'm serious.
Wow.
That's what they call it.
So if I write a story where, for example, there's this totally new character on the Enterprise who's even cooler than Kirk.
Yeah.
And he's going to save the day he's going to get better chicks than Kirk.
Right.
Obviously, that's me wanting to be cooler than Kirk.
Yes. Gary Sue.
So I'm it's one thing, every man fantasizes about being Bond or Kirk or whatever. But if you actually write it into the story like that, you're projecting yourself into the story, right, basically?
Yeah, basically, yeah. Marty,
so you agree with
another one. Point it out.
Oh, really?
That's another name.
So you agree with Jonathan's assessment that
Absolutely.
Clara is, in fact, a Mary Sue?
100%.
Wow. What about you, Lizzie? Do you agree with that or no?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we definitely established that she's Mary Sue in the whole Impossible Girl arc.
Yeah,
she's like, I'm the most important thing in the world. And everyone's like, shut up.
Flash, don't you love learning from the younger generation?
Yes, I do.
It's fun to learn. Look, that's fascinating. He's bitching about her. I fucking hate her. She's a Mary Sue. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? It's a fan fiction. It's no fault of the lovely actress, Jenna Louise Coleman.
No.
This is Moffat
She's gorgeous, and she knows what she's doing in terms of acting, but she's got such a shitty storyline to work with. So
I didn't mind her in the 50th anniversary. I thought she was fairly toned down in that. Whole I was born to save the Doctor stuff. Well, you think he writes? You think that something happened to Moffat along the way to where he's now can't leave Tumblr, right?
No, it's all over Tumblr. His homeboy loves Tumblr, I'm sure. He just hangs out on Tumblr, and he's like, oh, that'll be a good meme to use. That'll be a good thing to use.
Yeah. The thing is, the Tumblr actually hates Moffat, though.
Yes, that's the ironic part.
That's the best thing.
Yeah. They do. A lot of fans, not just Tumblr, but yeah, a lot of Dr. fans really hate him.
Yeah.
And I doubt this episode did anything to endear them, but here's the thing I talked to Lizzie about that really, basically I quoted Blackadder. All this crap, all this crap where he had to, it's like he said, remember a year ago when they announced Capaldi and Matthew, I'm sure you remember, and there were videos of young girls going, oh my God, he's ugly, you know, it was kind of crap, remember that one? Remember that one?
Right.
He's ugly.
He's ugly. You remember that? It's a classic. That poor girl's down. The whole world saw her, and so many people were. I mean, you know, why be mad at her? She's a kid. Jesus. But you know, so he's ugly. Like so, here I am making fun of her. Sorry, young lady, if you're out there somewhere. But it's silly. But I think a lot of Doctor Who fans who were who can't stand the whole. And I don't like. Is it wrong to say fangirl since all fangirls are not hating on Peter Capaldi? That are fine with it, and yet some fangirls are said they'd never watch the show again. That they cast him and all this other kind of stuff, and it almost seems like Moffat. And look, I understand him going, "Wow, what's a shame, you guys! I can't cast an older actor, but Doctor Who, you're that shallow that you won't watch the show because he doesn't hit your G spot." All right, look, I get G-spot that.
The myth.
There you go. That's what we got him here for. But seriously, that's what they were saying, right, Matt? So I can understand Moffat being aggravated with that. We all are. You know, however, you know, he didn't just say that. Like, if it's one thing in an interview, he says, look, everyone, we've cast an older doctor. Forget all the hanky-panky. Forget all the puppy love crap, you know, with the doctor, you know, and all the flirting, it's over. He could have said that in an interview, and we go, all right, good, whatever. He didn't. He actually injected it into the fucking episode with the least subtle way that you possibly could. The only way you could be less subtle is if Peter Capaldi had stood up with a big sign right there in front of Clara and said, "I'm not your boyfriend, you fuckity fucks. Eat it." I mean. Didn't you think the writing was really absolutely ludicrous, the way he wrote all that stuff about, you know, basically, Clara, you're superficial, get over, and, you know, her whining about him being old and stuff? Didn't any of that stuff just get on your nerves? Did we lose Matt?
I don't know, did we?
Yeah, we did.
You lost him.
I'll answer for him. I think Clara is amazing. I wish Clara had her own show. She needs a spinoff because she's so incredible. She's such an amazing Mary Sue, and I demand it right now. And I demand they cast an older actress for it, too. There, how's that?
Wow. They may have. We'll get to that part later. Well, I do enjoy your insights, but basically you probably just saw a picture of her and thought she was hot.
I don't even know who you're talking about.
Oh, okay. You haven't even seen the picture? Well, go look at a picture. You'll probably think she's hot. I do. She's a lovely young girl. But, well, we lost Matthew. Man, I've been waiting to talk to him about that. So, well, we'll just have to do without him. What you're saying, basically, Flash, is you have no problem with the way Moffat handled that, and he should have even been less subtle and had Clara decapitated for being superficial.
I absolutely despise Moffat, whoever that is. And
okay.
Yeah, he should. The doctor should have snapped her neck.
Well, he is a Marty's. Ah, well, by the way, Greatest American Hero, Rick, I'm sorry about that, dude. I haven't looked at the chat room in a while, but I see that you have a female fanfiction character who is so perfect as to be annoying. Is that fair? Is that pretty much what a Mary Sue is there, Lizzie? Or
yeah, pretty much, yeah.
We did learn something tonight, didn't we, Flash?
We did. Learning is fundamental.
And fun. Demental. Or fundamented.
Let's turn this into Schoolhouse Rock right now.
I love me some Schoolhouse Rock.
Lizzie probably doesn't have any idea what the hell I'm talking about, so take that.
Lizzie, do you know what Schoolhouse Rock is?
No. Actually, I don't.
There you go. We'll get Matt to send you some links. Hey, don't be messing with Lizzie now. Lizzie will smack you across the Yeah, don't be picking on her. She's on my side here. I don't know whose side she's on. She's on. I
got no dog in this fight.
That's true. You never watched Doctor Who, you big heathen.
I have a couple times every time. No, see, that's the thing. We go through this every time, Michael. Every time I watch Doctor Who, and I say, hey, I watched Doctor Who, you're like, yeah, that episode sucked, or yeah, it's all right. So I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to watch it anymore.
It'd be like if you never watched Star Trek and you accidentally, like, watched the alternative factor and you'd say, hey, that sucks, dude. Don't watch that. Too late. I watched it.
When Matt gets back on, we'll have to ask him because I can't remember the name of the person. But in the documentary, Trekkies, somebody would send scripts into, I think it was Voyager. I think he sent scripts into Voyager all the time. And every time he would send a script in, it was this ensign that was the star of the episode, like Ensign whatever saves the Enterprise or Ensign whatever does this. And, yeah, it sounds very much like the Mary Sue thing.
Yeah.
In fact, they tell people if you do send the script and it's got some character that's not the main character, you don't even bother. They used to tell people that. But, yeah, you're right. I put myself in the thing. And, you know, that is what it's like. Maybe it's a Walter Mitty thing, right? And I don't mean Ben Stiller either. Yeah, I mean Danny Kaye, damn it. But, you know, yeah, so I hear you there. Again, oh, there we go. Look, there's Matthew. Good, I want to... There you are, Matthew. You back, brother?
Yes.
Now, did you get the gist of my questionnaire, or should I go back to it?
No, I didn't hear much of it.
Well, Lizzie and I talked at the beginning of the show about how unbelievably not subtle all that crap of... all the I'm not your boyfriend crap that went on I just thought it was so phony the way Clara acted. Because whether you like Clara or not, she's seen all the doctors.
Yeah.
So her seeing an old doctor should have not fazed her in the least.
Right.
One thing, at least if it happened to Rose or someone like that, I guess you can go, she'd be a little surprised by it. But, you know, Clara has seen them all. She's been with the war doctor. But her, the way she acted, like, you're going to fix him, right? You're going to get him back. You know, and all that old crap with her and Vastra, you know, Vastra basically calling her out for being superficial and all that later stuff that's even less subtle, like, I'm not your boyfriend and all this kind of crap. What do you think about this stuff?
So stupid. And just so goddamn stupid. And you know what? I hate Clara, but goddamn, it's like Moffat wants me to hate her more. It's like, you know, I don't like the character, but there's no reason to write her that poorly. Yeah, I mean, that's not even fair. Now you're just making it too easy for me to hate her.
It's not consistent with her, really, either.
No. No, it makes her look bad.
Right.
You know, she already looks bad anyway to me, but I don't want you to make her look that bad. It makes her come off as really bad. And again, subtlety, not in Moffat's vocabulary anymore at all, because... I did get as far as the scene where she's talking to Vastra, and she's got the veil on, and then the veil is off.
That's the one.
And she says, the veil, and he says, because you stopped seeing me without it. That's when I started fast-forwarding.
That was really asinine.
Like, come on.
But the thing is, we talked about it, and Flash, a year ago, they announced Peter Capaldi playing Doctor Who, right? And he's a much older actor than the last. The last three guys have been very young. They've been very popular with a lot of younger women.
Yeah.
And a lot of them complain because now they don't have a pretty boy making the show. And I understand if Moffat had come out in an interview or something, and he did talk about it in interviews sometimes, like say, look, you know, we've changed. This guy's 2,000 years old at this point. Yes, in the eighth regeneration, he did hit puberty, but now he's changed. He's kind of gotten past all that kind of stuff. Like in the episode, this one good part of the writing was when he said to himself, when he saw how old he was, he's like, you know, maybe I'm trying to tell myself something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, him, he didn't know where the face. That was pretty good. Some of the stuff in the alley was great with him because he was phenomenal. Mm-hmm. So the thing about
that was great because he was basically on his own.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. So. Anytime he's on his own, he's really great in the episode. The stuff with him is amazing. But maybe they're saying, look, okay, and by the way, it's fascinating that the characters really changes on the outside so much that at some point, if you're thousands of years old, but you know your body, you look like you're in your 50s, and then you get regenerated into a young guy who is appealing to women. What old man is it going to take? I mean, let's just be honest. Let's not try to be crude here, but what old man isn't going to enjoy that? And so he had bodies for hundreds of years that afforded him that. He was appealing to young women. Hey, he capitalized. What guy's not going to do it? Even the Time Lord, the most powerful, smartest man in the universe, which the Doctor is, with a machine that can go anywhere in space and time, and he can take and he can impress women, and they're into him. I'm sorry. And it made the show, it had problems with the writing, but it kind of goes, okay, I can see that. The Doctor re-experiences his youth. But now he's 2,000 years old. He regenerates. He's older. And, again, I'm not calling Capaldi ugly. He's a dude. I don't care what he looks like. He's a great actor. That's what I want. I want a great actor for the role. And Matt Smith and David Tennant are appealing to women, but they're also great actors, so I was fine with that. But we had that for a while. This makes for a pretty interesting development in the show to go that way. And all that's fine. Do you really have, what are you, 12-year-old? Moffat, are you 12 years old that you have to actually be so immature that you will write it into the episode, your frustration and your anger over the reaction from some young girls who were pissed off that you didn't have a pretty boy? You're actually going to write it into the show, your insults, and like stick it in their face? Yeah, take it. It's one thing to say it in an interview, like, look, you girls, come on. The character's old. He's been old before. Deal with it. Say whatever you want in an interview, but actually sticking it in the show was asinine. Well, would you agree, Matt?
No, I love that. I love taking offense at fangirls. I love it.
Oh, so you don't think
very much for it.
So you are for that then? Wow,
I'm
Matt
for
does
it.
Like some. Hey, how about that, Lizzie? We got him to admit something.
Yay.
About the episode he liked.
Woohoo!
But you still
no,
find
I'm for it
slightly
it.
Immature? Really?
No.
You like that part of the writing?
I love it. I love whenever fangirls get shot down. It makes me smile. It makes me happy.
It makes me feel happy and warm inside.
Yeah, it just makes me feel better about life in general.
You don't think it was silly writing, though?
Well, sure, it was silly, but if it made them mad, that's fine. If it offended them, then that's cool with me.
Your son's a mean person, Flash.
I know.
You like that. So, Flash, even though you've not seen the show, Flash, you think that's a good thing that he would put that in there just to piss off the people who gave him all that grief?
Oh, I would probably do it.
Because at a certain point, you have to start fighting back. I mean, these people are merciless, and they go on. Sure, I mean they use the show to attack him, so why can't he use the show to attack back? I can't believe I'm defending Moffat right now. That's
we've made a silly part.
If he wants to fight back, I say it's fine. Let him fight back. Hey, all's fair in love, war, and Doctor Who.
Yeah,
but it did bog the whole episode down and all that kind of crap, though.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you can do that for one episode, but I won't let you do it again.
How you like that, Lizzie? We got him. We turned him into a Moffat defender. What do you think about that?
Oh man, I may need to kill myself after this.
I know how much he hates Moffat, so I'm kind of like, okay, fine.
That's classic. Oh man, I just thought I was a little silly.
It's silly,
I agree.
But
it is.
I
definitely
agree, Rick. I want Ace back.
Yeah.
But yeah,
definitely.
So you don't mind that you like all, but well, you did say that it did change the character. It was not consistent with Clara's character, though.
Right. Well, I mean, Clara's already fucked, so may as well.
Yeah.
So to speak. So you did. Did you like the line at the end? Then when he says, "I'm not your boyfriend."
I'm not your boyfriend. Yeah. You know.
I'm not your boyfriend. I don't know, man.
Like, throughout the episode, they're a bit of amazing. I'm not your fucking boyfriend.
Yes.
I'm not your fucking boyfriend. Get fucking fucked, you fuck. I'm not your fucking by the way, to bring you up to speed on that, Flash, this guy playing Doctor Who, now Peter Capaldi, played a character on a show called The Thick of It, which was a political, he was a political spin doctor, and every 5 seconds it was a fucking fuck. He was, like, a really amazing character, but he was, like, a total ass. And
He swore, like, we breathe.
And that's the thing. we keep thinking of the doctor. If they let him talk like, what's his name, something Tucker. What was his name?
Malcolm Tucker.
You fucking fuck. You Cyberman fucks. You fucking Dalek muckety fucking fuckety fuck. It'd be even perfect if he talked like that.
Like, I love the fan trailer that's out there where they've cut it together so Clara's like, what's happening? And he goes, we fucking time traveled, okay? that's one of my favorites out of every single one that's been made. I love it. I just wish you would swear. Like,
just one time, let the doctor say,
like the first time he opens the TARDIS in Strax's face and he'd just go, fuck off! And then just shut it again. It would have been amazing.
It'd be beautiful. So basically, Matt, you don't like fan service. You don't like fan service when it's in favor of the fans. But you're fine with it if it's smacking them inside the
it's
head.
It's fine. Hey, you know what? If it's fan service that pleases the fans, I hate it. If it's fan service that makes them pissed, then I love it.
Somehow that just totally makes sense to me. It's fine.
Hey, you know?
You should be proud of that, Flash. Your son's a hypocrite. So am I, by the way. I'm just saying. I can't remember what movie it's from, but I keep hearing someone use the soundbite. What are you looking at? You never saw the hypocrite before? That's me. Oh, we lost. Oh, no, we still have him. Flash is there. Flash, you're there, dude. I guess he might be there. All right, well, to sum up here, I will go with Lizzie. Lizzie. Summing up thoughts about this episode, Deep Breath of Doctor Who, and in other words, anything we may not have covered that you would like to cover, or anything else you'd like to say about it.
To sum up, I think thank God for Peter Capaldi. He basically carried the episode as much as he could. Clara's getting a bit annoying, and the Victorian Scooby Gang, please don't be in a couple of more episodes, that would be too much. The ending was all over the place. It wasn't the best intro episode, but a few scenes were actually pretty gorgeous. But overall, I guess, the episode just didn't do it for me, in terms of intros.
You reminded me of a few things I wanted to ask. So, good. A few things I want to run by you both, then, about that. First of all, new intros, you guys. What do you think? New intro.
Oh, I really have to get used to it. I was watching it and kind of going, I guess it makes sense because of the whole theme with, like, the clock strikes 12, but do you have to be so blatant about it?
Again, no subtle, the classic no subtle Moffat, you know?
Yeah,
the music
he's about
was
a brick wall at the moment, so.
But the music was my only real problem with it, though. Matt, what about you?
I thought it was suspicious because there's a fan-made credit sequence that looks exactly like that. That was made, like, years ago. And I'm like, did you guys steal this? I mean, if you did, it's fine, but...
They hired that guy. Yes.
Oh, really?
They got it from the fan, yes.
That's great. Oh, well,
so you were,
I take it all back.
Now the music, I kind of like the weird visual sequence, but the music, I could take a little getting used to on that, though, the new theme, right?
I haven't gotten used to the music yet. So.
Yeah, it's going to take me. When I saw it in the theater last night, Matt actually went to the theater. I kind of liked it a little bit more, but it's going to take me a little time because I really liked the last one.
Yeah.
But they like to change the theme a little bit with each new Doctor, I guess. So, now, on to something that's good. Again, here's another thing about Moffat that I know Matthew just must love not. You know, he's got certain, by the way, Russell T. Davies did this crap too. They both are from the same school of this, for this story arc set up mysterious, you know, portents and all this kind of crap that they like to stick in their stories that sometimes they never even adequately deal with, as you know. All right, so we got this ending of this episode. They don't even have a name for that stupid robot guy that falls.
Stupid robot guy.
Did he push him or did he jump?
We
just because why
know.
Not show it? And again, that's Moffat being Moffat-y, isn't it?
I obviously, yeah. I think he jumps because it's Moffat playing games with, because he's been saying all along, oh, this Capaldi's doctor is maybe dangerous and all this stuff. At the end, it's revealed
exactly.
That
yeah.
Exactly. So you think, obviously, if he'd pushed him, they would have showed it, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're playing a game with it, you want me to think that the doctor pushed him off, which...
Right.
Yeah.
That's what I think. What do you, Lizzie, you also, or what?
Yeah, I'm kind of partial to it. There's the bigger part of me thinks that he definitely didn't push, otherwise he would have seen it. But on the other hand, Moffat kind of could have, you know, tried subtlety and be like, "Ooh, he is dangerous. He pushed him, but we just don't know it yet." But when I think of that, I immediately think after, well, Moffat can't be subtle anymore, so maybe not. So I'm pretty sure he jumped.
Well, what would be edgy about it anyway? The guy's a stupid robot. He could have just—I mean, he's done way worse shit to
actual
beings. So he probably jumped, and Moffat thinks he's being clever. I mean, the thing's no better than a Dalek or a Cyberman, is he?
Right.
And the Doctor's done all kind of nasty shit to them.
Yeah.
Well, so, yeah, so, you know, that's pretentious writing that aggravates me.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you know, so phony. But, all right, so this mysterious woman in heaven, heaven, the promised land at the end, who referred to the doctor, did my boyfriend push you off? He's so mean. All right, who is she? Like, everyone, because, again, more fan service crap, Matt, because, again, he can't just write subtle, straightforward stories. He's got to have something for fans to whine about. So he puts that in there. He wants fans to speculate that on that character, and he might not reveal her. She's going to keep popping up, and we're not going to know who she is, maybe to the end of the Capaldi run, because he's like that.
Yeah.
And it's annoying. It's phony, pretentious crap. So it doesn't do us any good to speculate what the hell, because we fall into his trap by doing it. So who is it? Who is she, Lizzie?
Well, to me, she'll always be Mrs. Pickwell, but that's another story. Because she's an actress from a BBC Three show called Bad Education, where she's like this really strict teacher. So I can't see her as anything but like this really awful person. So I'm like, what? I was watching the episode. I'm like, what the fuck is Mrs. Pickwell doing in heaven? What is going on? This is not right. And she calls him the boyfriend. And oh god, I give up. The whole scene was kind of like, eh. But, you know, it's very obviously, like, Moffat being like, ooh, I'm being mysterious again, and you won't know who this person is until the end of the season at, you know, the earliest. So you're kind of like, do we really have to do this? And also, the garden that they were in is the same garden as Amy was in at one point in season 5, 6, I think so.
Really?
A lot of people pointed that out, so they're like, there's this huge discussion on Tumblr, and like, okay, so are BBC being lazy again, or is there a point to this? So, but they might be lazy again, so.
Matt, do you think you know who she is? Not that you care at this point.
It's Mary Sue.
Obviously. Solved. But by the way, Moffat's listening going, damn it, that Flash guy figured me out. I'm not going to change it. Moffat listens to this show, and he's very across with Matt right now. Matt, you have theories? And that's the only they'll ever be, because you know, I'll explain in a second, but go ahead.
Yeah. I don't know. Actually, you know what? As much as I hated this episode, I was actually kind of intrigued by the Missy thing. I don't know. I've heard a lot of theories. Could be female master. Could be, you know, I heard somebody talk about River. I heard all kinds of things. At this point, I don't even begin to question until I get more scenes with her and more clues.
Oh, please,
before I throw possible,
let it be River. That's all I'm saying.
What's that?
It be River. That's just
It's not River because she said boyfriend, not husband.
Right.
Yeah.
Thing is, first of all, he loves this portents crap. so much it really is getting nauseating. But, I mean, I kind of thought the scene was a little intriguing, too, but sometimes it just gets old. But the thing is, I firmly believe he will do something like this and write down four or five possibilities if he's going way, way into the future with it and not doing it yet. And then I've had this gut feeling about Moffat for a while that I've seen – I think he looks at internet bullshit from fans. And
oh, yeah.
When he sees – if he'll look at all the speculation if it goes in a certain percentage against once of one little secret he's got, and then he'll go, well,
right.
I can't do that one. Everyone's guessing it. And it bothers,
yeah.
By the way, you couldn't do that, you know, 20 years ago. In the internet age, you could definitely do it. You can go, all right, this is a big thing. Fans are all saying it's this. If I do this, they're all going to say, I knew it. So I think he watches speculation and crap like that and tries to go with the – you know, in other words, if it's the one he really wanted to do and everyone says it, he's like, nah, shit, I can't do that. Matt, do you think there's a possibility he does that?
Oh, I think he definitely does. Absolutely he does. I mean, I've heard him talk about, you know, oh, he doesn't listen to fan, you know, stuff.
Fine.
Bullshit. He's so full of shit.
He's listening right now. Steven?
He's listening right now, and he's very cross.
Yeah, I love you, Steven, but we're just trying to give this tough love here, man. We're being
yeah.
It's clobber time, brother. You know, and we, you know, you've done a lot of good things, man, but you've got your faults, and, you know, quite frankly, we're just trying to smack you upside the head and get you back to reality a little bit.
He's, like, calling up Mark Gatiss right now. They're making fun of me!
Yeah.
I was going to give the show to Mark Gatiss. Mark Gatiss
would
probably
run it
just
a little bit better, actually, maybe.
I think he would run it better, but who knows? He's a big fan, I mean. But, the Ronnie, that's too obvious.
Yeah.
But you never know.
I heard that one, too.
It could happen. Ramana's an interesting one.
I liked that one a lot when I heard that.
Well, you know what? The Promised Land, that could be E-Space.
Yeah, that's just what I was getting ready to say. Yeah.
But she's gone insane. I mean, she's gone insane, by the way.
Yes.
He did leave her in E-Space, but that was her decision.
Mm-hmm.
What about a future version of Clara?
Oh, God.
Oh, please.
Mary Sue time.
Mary Sue. Flash nailed it.
See, Flash knows his Doctor Who. Flash, Mary Sue.
He's
it's Mary
man.
Sue.
He's
you're
seen
right.
every episode like 500 times.
Yeah, Mary. He's just. Yeah, Mary Sue. Oh, well, I guess probably I should probably cover a little bit of Dragon Con, huh? You guys. You know, I wish all of you were going there because I'm going all by myself. Not really. I'm driving there by myself, but I'm meeting all kinds of fun people up there. My retro blasting buddies. I don't know. They don't really it's the biggest – it's like the second or third biggest con in the country, as I guess you probably have heard of it.
Mm-hmm.
And yet the guest – Colin Baker is a good guest. I'm looking forward to him. But I've seen him once before back in the 80s, but – listen to this guest list, dude, and tell me that a con that's stretched out among six hotels, over 100,000 people, can't. I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't bitch about that. It's a huge cosplay con. It makes me feel like a Mary Sue just bitching about it. Actually, I don't know what that means. Yeah, I don't know. You know, they're going to hear this because they don't hear anything. No one hears this, but I'm saying, I don't know, man. I'm a little disappointed in the guest list. Not that it matters. I'm going to go have fun anyway, but I just, what the hell? Tell me if any of these ring your, you know, make you excited if you were going to this con. You know, Peter Weller, that's pretty cool because I've never seen him before.
Yeah.
And there's going to be a roebuck. I like him. But again, you got to be an old-timer to want to see Peter Weller. Is that probably true, Carrie?
Yeah.
Do you have to be an old-timer to want to see Peter Weller?
I don't know. Kind of, right?
Probably, yeah. Yeah, maybe a little.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's pretty – he's never been there before. That's pretty cool. But, I mean, you wouldn't call him, like, a super huge – I mean, I like – Nancy Allen, by the way, too. So, you know, they're going to have a RoboCop battle. That's kind of cool. Real RoboCop.
Yeah.
Colin Baker's always cool. Amy Acker, I know you like her, Lizzie. She's cool.
Oh, who's Amy Acker again?
Hmm?
Who's Amy
Acker
again?
Well, you're you're a Buffy fan, but did you watch Angel?
Not so much.
Ah, okay, there you go. You're just a strictly Buffy fan. Adam Baldwin, yeah. That's a good one, but he's there all. He's been there plenty of times. Even I've met him.
Oh.
No really great comic book guests. Let's see, I'm looking at this list now, and I'm like, well, oh, I take it back. Matt would love it. Oh, my God. Matt's going to have to go to it when I tell him this one.
Oh, Lord.
Matt, they've got a green Power Ranger and a blue Power Ranger.
Man, fuck that green Power Ranger.
Oh!
Kathleen Coleman's going to be there, though.
Nice.
Kathy Coleman. Yeah. And Michael Urie. Is it Urie? How do you say it? Is it Ure?
Wesley Ure.
Okay. I'm Wesley Ure, not Michael. Wesley Michael. I'm thinking someone else. God,
you mean Bernadette Peters?
Go start that again now. I don't want to besmirch that poor woman any more than she already has been besmirched. I feel terrible as it is. I don't know. Man, that was the second worst brain fart I've ever had. Maybe the first. You know, sometimes they get some guests like a billion times over again, though, like Lou Ferrigno and Gil Gerard. Gil Gerard's great and all, but, man, every time he's there, he must live there. Here's a great one, though, Matthew. You like this one, dude. James Gunn.
Nice. That's
awesome.
I'll
definitely go to the Guardians of the Galaxy panel. I'll definitely. That's a surprising one there.
Yeah.
You know? So, I will. I'll definitely go on to that one. Yeah, let's see here. But still, I can't tell you enough how huge this con is in terms of size. They can afford the biggest of guests, and this is, really, Walter Koenig again? Come on. By the way, there are hundreds and hundreds of guests. But there are hundreds of guests, by the way. I'm just like reading occasional ones here and there. There are a lot of them that just
yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
Most people have heard of. Oh, you seeing the list of the featured guests?
Yeah.
You go to the featured guests, I'm like, man, I just... Oh, well, the guy that played Chaka, by the way, you know, let me see if I get you an interview. Can you get an interview with him, by the way, Flash?
Who,
Philip Bailey?
No,
yeah.
I've never talked to Philip.
Well, he probably still looks like Chaka, according to this picture. No, I mean, I don't know. It's a picture from the... Joe.
See, you'll have to say something to Wesley, though.
I will. I would definitely, if I see him in there, I'm definitely going to thank him for being on the show. Been a cool guy. Any messages for him? And tell him, hey, look, dude, Flash says hello.
Ask him what he thinks about Doctor Who.
Yeah.
And ask him what he thinks about Doctor Who. He might be a Doctor Who fan. You know what,
he may be. I'm not sure.
That's a funny one. John Ratzenberger's going to be there, but they got a picture of him from The Empire Strikes Back. Like, he had more than one line in the movie.
He was the star of that movie, wasn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, not as Cliff from Cheers, because that's not Dragon Connie. They got to have... Hey, dude, you were in The Empire Strikes Back. That's awesome, man. Yeah, I was
that's
also on... What's that?
That's actually kind of an intriguing guest list to me. I'd actually be interested in that.
See, now I want to go to this now, though.
Yeah me
which
too.
One?
Well, because Juan Carlos Esposito from Breaking Bad is going to be there, and I'm about to cry now.
Oh, cool.
Who is that? Let's see. Okay. Wow. You think they would have other Breaking Bad guests then?
Yeah. I thought maybe Aaron Paul or something.
Yeah, well, again, I don't know, was Breaking Bad the kind of show you would expect to see at,
It was at Comic-Con, so why not?
Oh, yeah, but Comic-Con has all this stuff, but Dragon Con, you know, just leftover, sort of. By the way, they have, Ralph Macchio, yeah, I know you'd like that one, Flash.
Karate Kid.
He's not my Karate Kid. My Karate Kid died saving Princess Projectra's planet. Val Harbor.
Now wait. See, Ralph Macchio is not the Karate Kid. The Karate Kid lost in the final round of the tournament.
He did.
The real Karate Kid.
Val Armor would have kicked that guy's ass, sweep the leg my ass. He would have fucking wiped the floor with those all the Cobra Kai guys, wouldn't he? Okay, nobody knows who Val Armour is but me. I'm sorry. Well, actually, Matt should know, though.
No.
Yeah, you know, Val Armour, that's Karate Kid from the Legion of Superheroes. You know, the end credits of the original Karate Kid, you know, they had to get permission from DC Comics to use that title, right? Weird.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why when I remember back when I saw there was a movie called Karate Kid, I was like, wait a minute, did I remember the Legion of Superheroes movie? I'm in. And then he wasn't
then
in the future with a... Huh?
Then you got Pat Morita and Ralph Macchio.
Yeah. I went, wait a minute, this is not taking place in the 30th century with a flight ring, although, you know, the Karate Kid did, in fairness, his own comic, he did end up in the 20th century for a while. So maybe I thought that's what they were doing. And then I saw, wait a minute, who is this kid? Oh, God. Hey, what about this girl, Katie Lotz, who plays sort of the Black Canary from...
Oh, yeah.
Arrow. You like that?
Yeah.
Gates McFadden? What? Nothing wrong with that. I'm sorry.
You said it was such derision. I thought maybe there was problems.
I'm so unprofessional. I'm sorry. She's a lovely woman. But
Gates McFadden,
to...
really?
Yeah, that was terrible of me. I don't know. She's just kind of a snot. But, I mean, hey. You know,
she's
what you... Yeah, I saw her being kind of snotty at a con once. But that's rude. It's a good thing she'll never hear this. John Ratzenberger, though, Flash, what do? You walk up and go, hey, man, look, normie here, a lot of people don't know this, but I wasn't just on Cheers, I was in The Empire Strikes Back. And he was in Superman 1 and 2, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah. I like John Ratzenberger.
He is pretty cool. I like that guy. So that's a guy. Yeah, Here's one, Jeri Ryan. I hate to inform you guys, but I think I'm going to have an affair with her this weekend. Sorry. I'm announcing that to the world. Yes. And I'm sorry. It's just the way it is. And I'm not going to apologize.
Well, get in line, pal, because if you believe the stories that circulated, Jeri had an affair with quite a few people, if you know what I'm saying.
That's true.
Well, then she won't mind slumming it with me, then. She probably will.
Thanks to her perverted husband.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of that stuff was exaggerated when I heard. You know why? To make the guy drop out of an election in Chicago running against you-know-who, a name I can't say on the show because it violates rules. You knew that, right?
Nah.
Yeah, it's fact. He dropped out of that election because some politician who's very, very famous right now dug up dirt on him. And he dropped out. That's how that certain someone whose name I won't say got his Senate seat. And then...
Was this a dolphin?
No, it wasn't. He happens to be... I can't say... leader of the free world. Excuse me.
Oh, wow.
But I can't say... Yeah. True story, by the way. I'm not making it up. That's how he got his Senate seat. And that's how he now leads us all, sort of, if you call that leading. Let's see here. Here's another one. I know Matt's just going to go nuts. Matt's probably going to have to jump on a... Matt's going to jump on an airplane if I tell him this one. Lizzie, you think I should tell him? Because we don't want him going too nuts over it. Let's try it. All right. Matthew, you're looking at the list, Matt, so I'm surprised you haven't spazzed out over already. C. Thomas Howell. No, that was for Flash. I'm sorry. Flash is the one that's going to jump into a car.
Stay gold. Stay gold, Pony Boy. Stay gold.
Classic.
No, the one Matthew's going to go nuts over is Alex, Hartman, the Red Ranger. That's obviously a new Red Ranger, right?
Alex Hartman. I don't even know that name.
Oh.
She must be from the new one, which was so bad I turned it off.
They're not all the same, then?
Well, yeah, but...
What about the Golden Samurai Ranger? Some guy named Steven Sky. That doesn't do it for you either, huh? That's from Nickelodeon, too. What's it with all... And there's some weird bald dude called Patrick Stewart. Oh, Stewart. I think he plays bald characters, but I can't place him in these movies that have nothing to do... But, let's see, he calls conferences on the Starship,
Oh, that guy? You mean phony Professor X? That fucking guy? Yeah.
Yes, that one. Patrick Stewart, yes. Yeah.
Fake ass Professor
favorite.
X.
Yeah, he's an even weaker ass captain to me, but
yeah.
Everyone, I'm sorry. He's very well loved. I'm sorry. That was. Here's one that messes me up. Carl Urban. He is a great actor in spite of being in Sino.
Mm-hmm.
In spite of being in that shitty Judge Dredd. So what do? I kind of like the guy as an actor, but do I step on his nutsack for being in Dredd?
Yes.
Yeah.
You do.
He deserves it, do you think?
He deserves it.
Right, now I've mentioned violence on my show. Everyone, disclaimer, Clobber Time does not in any way endorse violence against people in movies unless they're movies I really hate. Then I endorse all the violence.
But Matt encourages violence against anybody.
Yeah, however, again, Matt and Flash encourage violence against everyone.
Yes.
All
anybody.
The time, okay. Round the clock. Yes. Yeah,
see, Flash's girlfriend Julie Benz is going to be there, so he probably should be happy.
Yes, she is. Oh, do you like Julie Benz there, Flash?
Oh, I heart Julie Benz.
Well, I know you didn't see her on Buffy or Angel, so what show have you seen her?
I would. Dexter.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Okay. She is a sweetie. I love her.
Yeah.
She's always there.
Yeah. I'm a big fan.
I was
fan.
So angry when they killed her off.
Oh, okay. So you're saying I can have Jerry Ryan, but stay away from Julie, is what you're saying.
Yeah, that's right. I'm a big fan. Huge fan, big fan. And thank God she was on and by the way, my wife was aware that I thought Julie Benz was quite an attractive lady. And the first time she appeared real naked on Dexter, I could feel her looking at me.
Was he really naked on there? No, I want to see it.
Yeah.
Oh, real naked. Yeah, real naked. So
you
naked.
You could actually
like,
be
totally
so
naked.
You can be real naked. You can't just be like sort of naked.
I can pick her out of a police lineup to quote Seinfeld.
Oh my God. Wow. Nice. I mean, that's horrible. I mean, that's nice and horrible. Nice and horrible. It's nice and horrible.
Julie Benz. Yeah. Hell, I might jump on a plane for that one.
Well, I'll see if I can take some pictures for you. Send
them to my private account.
At cons, you know, you can't take a picture for more like freaking $300. No, not that much, unless it's Shatner or Stewart, but yeah. Peter Weller, though, is kind of cool because he's never been there before. And even though he was in filth-infested Stino into dumbness, I forgive him because he's still Buckaroo Banzai in RoboCop.
Yeah.
Yeah. But if he has the nerve, because I will never watch the filth-infested RoboCop remake, mind you, but if he has the nerve to bitch about that remake and say, look, dude, you are into dumbness, so don't talk. Hypocrite. Hypocritical. Self-righteous son of a bitch. Sorry.
He's listening to this,
so,
and he's going to charge extra for talking to him.
He does listen. In fact, let's just assume that everyone listens, even though we all know no one does. Just for the fun of it, though. It's best to, you know, so you're like, look, I'm speaking out to you all now. It's all for your own good. Wow, here's one for Flash. Martin Cove. You can go sweep his leg.
Oh, that bastard. I mean, I'm sure he's a very nice man, but he always plays a bastard.
Yes, that's true. Probably the guys who always play the real... Oh, I mean, who always play the scumbag are usually pretty nice. Do you remember Richard Lynch?
They're usually the nice guys, yeah.
Do you, either of you remember him, Richard Lynch?
Who is it?
Well, he was on every damn conceivable... Like, the old Battlestar Galactica, the old... I mean, every show you can imagine, this guy, if you look at him... And he always played the really, really bad, evil, nasty guy.
Yeah.
I cannot... I'm pretty... You know who he is? I don't know if you know who he is, but...
Yeah.
There's no way he ever played a good guy. It's not possible.
No.
And I think he even said that. He was a dragon. He passed on. But he was a dragon con a few years ago. We had this running gag going. We were walking by him. He was really nice. Cool guy. Been in a lot of stuff. You know, you just see him in every damn show when you're a kid. And every time we walked by, because we were joking around, I was like, ugh. I was like shiver for a second. And my friend, what are you doing? I said, that's Richard Lynch. I think he's going to kill us. I don't know why. I think he's going to kill us. He's just, I don't know what, I mean, he's an actor, super nice guy. You look at him and you think, that guy is going to kill everyone here. And, of course, he's just an absolute, you know, prince of a guy, really nice. But you can't, we couldn't help it. Like, man, I've seen him in so many things where, like, the guy creeped you out. He was so good at it.
Yeah. I probably know
Terry
Elwes, about
the song. You've seen him. Terry Elwes.
I'm sure
like,
I have.
anybody Carrie Elway's Princess Bride fans here? I know Lizzie's got to be a Princess Bride fan.
Oh, I am.
He's going to be there.
Carrie Elway's my childhood crush.
So I should stay away from him too then.
Yeah.
Don't mess with him. He's yours. Okay.
He's mine.
I hereby make the promise to Lizzie that I will not have an affair with Carrie Elway's at DragonCon.
Thank you.
Sorry. And look, and
so you were planning on it.
Didn't I say, I just got an instant message from him now. He's crushed and he wants his ring back. But dude, come on, no. I'm just saying that for Lizzie's benefit. I'll be there and we'll talk about it.
Yeah.
Over dinner.
I just, obviously, I'm not ruling anyone out here. So, but yeah, again, Dragon Con, I love you. I've been the past 20 years, except for 1 year where I missed it. About 20, somewhere up in there. I'm just saying, these are lovely people. Emma Caulfield, I know you know that one, Lizzie, from Buffy, a Buffy fan. Love her.
Yeah.
Love her. Her,
I love
her. I may have to cheat on Jerry Ryan with her. she's great. Mm. I love, a few of the MST3K guys are going to be there, but, man, comics-wise, they never – I mean, George Perez is a great guest, but he's always there. Other than – by the way, Nerf Herder. Everyone ever heard of Nerf Herder?
I think I've heard it mentioned, but I don't really know what it is.
They do the theme song to Buffy. They're just a band. They're going to be there.
Oh, okay.
Well, Flash, I got one for you. She's there all the time, and I've met her, and you haven't, and you should cry for never having met her. Erin Gray.
That sounded perverted, didn't it? Let me try that again. Oh, how nice.
I've actually stood next to her for a picture. How do you like them apples? She's wonderful.
Oh, besides, let me tell you, I was so in love with Erin Gray. I mean, it wasn't even funny. It was.
Who wasn't? Get in line, pal.
And I hear she's just such a nice person, too, which you're like, thank God. Thank God she's not just, a complete...
Yeah, she's a sweetie. You know, she actually handles some of these convention bookings for a lot of these actors from some of these old shows.
I hear she's very nice. I've never heard anybody say anything bad about her. Joe Girard, he kind of strikes me as a bit of a crybaby. I don't know. But, she's always seemed very nice.
He's been pretty nice the times I've met him. I mean, he seems pretty cool.
I'm sure he is at appearances, but when it comes to jobs and things like that, he's a crybaby. Yeah.
I hear you. Well, and
that's
there you
where, that's
look.
Kind of, that's so awful when people meet a celebrity and they turn out to be a D-bag, because I gotta say, I've been very lucky. I've never, never had a bad experience. Never once. Not even with the infamous Liam Shatner. He was very nice.
I mean, I did tell you what, I often like to quote what William Shatner said to me.
What's that?
I've told you, right?
I don't think so.
Really? I've never told you guys what William Shatner said to me when I met him?
I think
you told me once, but I don't remember what it was.
Well, Lizzie, when I walked up to him, and you got to pay $5 to get into this place and shake his hand, not $300 like it is now, because this was in the mid-80s.
Mm-hmm.
And I walked up to him, it was World of Wheels, I guess it was, it was post-Bad Toupee days, but it was still middle of Star Trek movies day, so like 1986. I wish I could find that picture I have with him. Claude still has his picture he has with him, but I walked up there and shook hands with him, and I forget what I said, but I'll never forget what he said. I said something, just some kind of silly crack about the crowd, and he said, well, that's what he said to me. I think it was the word well, but I'm not sure. He kind of and a shrug and a smile. So in other words, that was my conversation with the great William Shatner. I've never forgot it. All these years, I've never forgot it. I mean, it really made an impression on me. His philosophy is
I was
going to
say, it sounds like you had a deep conversation about life and love. And
his
ordinary. It could have been another word, but I was pretty sure he was like, well, maybe he may not have said the whole word well. He was kind of shrugged, shook my hand, saying, well, he kind of laughed at whatever dumb thing I said, polite laugh, the polite, and that was it. It was something along those lines. But it changed my life. It was a word to live by.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
More
it has
helped shape the person you've become.
Yeah.
It has, and which is probably why I'm such a miserable failure. It's probably why I'm such a miserable failure, to be honest with you. Adam West actually talked to me for a long time, but Shatner just pretty much, you know, he had just not much to say, but it was eloquent.
Well.
Mm-hmm.
Very eloquent.
Well,
very Shakespearean.
It was.
It was very Shatnerian anyway, that's for sure.
Yeah.
See, I keep hearing horror stories about Walter Koenig. Like, everybody's like, oh, Walter Koenig, he's a jerk. But you know, I met Walter just before Search for Spock at a convention, and he was very, very nice. And when I had him on the show, he was very, very nice.
Hmm. Well, and there you go. I think... sometimes people, I've heard that a lot about some people too. They will meet some big name actor or celebrity,
mm-hmm.
and have a really good experience with them, and then someone else will meet them. Maybe they were in a bad mood or whatever happened, and then I met so they were a jerk or d-bag. I'm like,
yeah,
wow, they were nice. Yeah. And all you could ever say, oh really? I'm sorry. He or she was nice to me. You know. I've seen it happen a lot, though. I've experienced that a lot where people will tell me that. They'll say so-and-so was a jerk. And if I'd met him, I'd be like, really? It's kind of nice to me. But some of them are really nice, and some of them are like, I tell you who's been, every Doctor Who person I've met, I think, has been really nice. Peter Davison was kind of quiet, but he was pretty cool. Colin Baker's a really nice guy. It's been a long, long, long time. But, I mean, you know, most of the Doctor Who people that I met, though, they've been pretty cool. And I hate to say it, most of the Star Trek people, I guess they get mobbed more. Maybe they're just not as, I don't know. I mean, DeForest Kelly was nice to us, but he was kind of quiet. James Doohan was kind of short with us.
Kind of cross with you.
Yeah, a little cross. This is in the 80s when, you know, he was, you know, I don't know. I don't mean anything bad by it or anything. He was nice enough, you know. The only member of the original cast I've never met was Nimoy. Now I'm never going to. So there's it's never going to happen now. And he's still with us, by the way, but I know I'm never going to meet him. You know, I just know I'm not. I can't meet him now. All I'm saying about this Dragon Con list, I'm like, I think they could have really... by the way, this featured list is nothing. I guess you saw that, Matt, if you look at how many people they got hundreds and hundreds of guests, I guess quantity... But, hey, they do well to get over 100-some-odd thousand people, 6 hotels, 2 gigantic, I mean, unbelievably huge. They're not convention centers. They're called the Paramount, but they're like a Paramount thingy, but they're like convention centers or whatever. The dealers room's so huge. And they have the Dragon Con parade every Saturday, the Saturday of the con, which since I'm not staying at the hotels this time, I won't have to suffer that thing. I mean, it's a lovely parade, by the way. Everyone go to it. Sorry, I didn't mean that.
I would tell you what city is rapidly becoming a player in not only celebrity conventions but comic conventions is Pittsburgh.
Really?
Yeah, Pittsburgh. When Pittsburgh, you know, Pittsburgh has, you know, their celebrity, you know, the celebrity filled conventions, you know, but Pittsburgh also has a comic convention which is hardcore. I mean, it is hardcore. Out of 10 names, you'll recognize 8 of them. You know what I mean? You're like, oh, wow, I know who that is. I know who that is. And they've kind of separated themselves from it. They have the Steel City Con, which is mostly celebrities and memorabilia. But then they also have the comic convention that they do, and it is just hardcore, balls-to-the-wall comic books. Like, nothing else is allowed in there. You know what I mean? It's like, this is a comic book convention. Keep your shit out of here. And they're starting to become a big player in this.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it. That's one you guys are pretty close to that, right? So you could be
an hour and a half, we're going in December. We're finally going to break down and go in December because John Wesley Shipp messaged me and he's like, dude, I'm going to be in Pittsburgh, and I'm like, oh. Bitching, so we're gonna go.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. And well, it's great that you're gonna meet him because you really love that You really love that. That was it. That I'm trying to think. The old show, the old Flash show that he was on.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're a big fan of that show, aren't you?
I like it. Yeah, I really like it, and I thought it was good. You know, I liked it. I mean, I thought it tried really hard, you know, with its limitations and everything. And yeah, I was a big fan of it. I'm a big fan of John, too. I had John on the show and a couple of times, and John's actually, you know, a pretty good friend now. So, you know, it's like, I'm gonna have to lie to his face about this new Flash, but, you know, that's what you gotta do.
Uh-oh. we can edit that out. We can edit that out.
I'm gonna have to lie to his face over that, but, you know. Oh, well.
Yeah, you won't. You won't, because he'll never hear this. So. No, I just texted him and told him what you said, but that's all right.
He's pretty smart. He's a pretty smart guy. I think he'll figure out I'm lying.
Yeah, that's right. Just tell him, look, dude, you never know. He might not be that closely connected where he cares that much. Just tell him, look, dude. In fact, what you do is you say, look, man, I'm sorry. I can't I can't live with anyone else but you as the Flash, damn it, and I won't settle for anyone else. I'm a
diplomacy.
Purist, man.
Perfect.
No, you don't understand. You don't. Here's the problem. Here's the problem. John can say one thing in the press. You know what I mean? Like, who's the guy? Who's the guy playing Barry Allen? Yeah, he can say one thing in the press and say, "Oh my gosh, this kid's fantastic. I'm really excited about this show." Blah blah blah. But in private, he tells me the same thing, and I'm like, shit, he really is, you know, in love with this project.
Wow, he really likes it a lot, huh?
He really does. Yeah, he really likes this kid, and he really likes the project. And I'm like, come on, give me something. He won't do it. Yeah, he's like really in love with this project, so, yeah, he'll probably be able to tell.
Cool. Well then,
I'll have Matt say something to him. You know, doesn't matter if he gets pissed at Matt.
That's true. Yeah, but Matt likes it.
Fuck. Yeah, I love the show. If anybody's gonna get yelled at by JW,
there we go. There we go. I'll just say if he says, hey, so what do you think? I'll be like, oh, this is Matt, by the way.
Ask him.
Tell him. Yeah, just tell him. Look, man, I know this. This asshole Alonzo really hates it, and he was trying to make me say I hate it. but I love it, man, and it's great. And the thing is, dude, I just can't accept anyone as the Flash but you. You are Barry Allen, pal. And always will be.
Yeah.
Is it going to work?
You know.
Yeah, I don't think it will either.
It's not pretty cool. I mean, for example, it would be like, if I had to make friends with someone in one of the Jar Jar Abrams filthy Steino movies, or like if I made buddies with somebody in a Zack Snyder movie, like, you know, Man of Rubber, what if I made friends with Henry Cavill? And I would go, look, dude,
you're gonna lie to me?
Your guts. I would not lie to him. If he were my friend, I'd say, look, dude, I love you, man, but you're in that crap that defaces Superman, and I hope you burn in hell for it. But we can still be friends and everything.
What kind of friend is that?
We can still be friends. I mean, just because I want you to burn in hell doesn't mean
apparently.
I can't.
Yeah.
You're right. It's a little bit extreme. I don't hope he burns in hell for
a
it.
A little bit extreme.
I hope he has his neck snapped by Zod. The zombie.
Okay.
I don't know. Totally kidding. I would be friends. That is a point, though, by the way. The stream shall run out in a second, by the way. Greatest American Hero, Rick, thank you, buddy, for being there. Great. Almighty sports show. Appreciate that, man. Just on the stream, of course. We're still being recorded. But see, that is a point. Like, what if you were a really opinionated geek fan of something and you happened to be really good friends with somebody in something that you thought sucked? What do you think would happen?
It's weird. Because I'm really good friends with Louis Sabre, who composed music for Smallville. And sometimes I feel bad when I go on Facebook or Twitter or somewhere and say something really bad about Smallville. Cause I'm like, he's going to see this.
Yeah, but you like the show, though.
Yeah, but sometimes I'm really hard on in the last two seasons, which he was the main composer on when he took over from Mark Snow. And it's like, sometimes I feel bad about it, but I just post it anyway.
Way to be. Yeah. It just depends on how good a friend they are. For example, if we're talking about a friend like Claude, I mean, Claude, I've known him for 30 years, has known filthy, nasty shit I can say to him that would bother him. So if he were like if he does, you know, if he does a piece of art because he's a good artist, and I say, the problem is he's not going to, like if he says, what do you think of this? I think it fucking sucks. It's horrible. He's not going to believe me. He thinks I'm just going to be saying it to be a dick so he doesn't care.
Yeah.
It's like when he calls in to the show, by the way, your show sucks. Well, I said, yeah, no kidding. We know it sucks, but we just do it for the fun of it. So, I mean, in other words, there's nothing he can do except he gets annoying when he tries. He does try to tell me shit like, you should do this, and you should, dude, shut the fuck up. You're not even getting called in anymore. Yeah, well, you know, like you ever do a show. And by the way, he can't take criticism, but he could call in and tell me what to do on the show. Yeah. So, no, look, yeah, but yeah, if you're friends with him, though, it depends on the friend. But the thing is, what if you, like, were an opinionated geek and then you, like, started working in Hollywood or some shit? And the next thing you know, you're working, there's no way I could work with Jar Jar Abrams or Zack Snyder. It's not going to happen anyway, but if I met him, imagine the hell. That might be hell for me. If you were asked, Matt, Flash, this is the devil, Mike's going to hell, no devil. So tell me what I, you know, and ask the devil, I have to do research on my, you know, people I'm going to be tormenting in the everlasting flames of damnation. And I need you guys to help me out. What would be the best way to do that? You could say something like, well, have him hang out with Jar Jar Abrams and tell him he has to, like, work for him or something. You know?
Yeah.
That might be one. And he has to be nice to him.
That's a good one.
You think that'll work?
Yeah. Sure. Go with it. Roll with it.
Oh, shit. I hope the devil doesn't come see you two guys.
The devil?
He'll have me hang out with Amy Pond.
I'll take that all day long. I love her. Oh, come on, man. You don't like Amy? You like Nebula?
I wish Nebula would cut Amy's head off.
Oh, that would be cool.
It would. You'd like that too. You don't like Amy either, do you, Lizzie?
Oh, I'm partial to her. She had a good start, horrible end. That's kind of my opinion on it.
No, I hear you there. I hear you there for sure. You know, there's just a bunch of haters on this show. You ever notice that? hateful prejudgers.
Well, they do make it easy to hate certain things.
Hateful prejudgers.
Oh, I'm a prejudging motherfucker. I'll admit it.
Man.
Oh, yeah. You are. Definitely.
You really are. You prejudge things way too much, you know.
Uh-huh.
You know, not, you know, I do too, just not as much as you. Okay, more than you.
I'm not proud of it. It's just the way it is.
We talk in seriousness, you know, Lizzie, we talk about that.
Yeah.
In this day and age, it's tough not to prejudge sometimes because they put so much info out on stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's certain people that can't stand for you to talk about it. Like, wait a minute, these assheads are putting this stuff out here. Like a movie, for example. And the one I really can't understand is Batman Violates Superman. Because, again, I can't stress this enough. It's one thing for a year out or so. We're still, what, 2 years from this thing, Matt?
Mm-hmm. A little bit.
What? Are they insecure? They think no one's going to go see it? Do they have to keep putting out info every 5 seconds about the damn thing? I mean, they don't really have to stir up a lot. You can wait till like at least a year out before you. I don't know. What are they accomplishing by putting this? I mean, they think anyone's going to be excited? Well, we're sticking on. Let's see, who's the next? How many people have they shoehorned into this thing already?
Batman, Superman, Aquaman, The Flash, Wonder Woman, Dick Tracy, Doctor Who.
Captain Carrot,
Spider-Man, just because.
Yes. They're all in there.
Yeah, everybody.
Pretty soon Batman and Superman go, wait, look, you guys, do you guys need us for anything, or should we just go and let you put everyone else in the sumbitch?
Yeah.
Yeah, excuse us for wanting to be in the movie. You guys crowding this bitch. Oh, man. I'm starting to actually feel sorry for you guys who look forward to that movie now.
Yes,
I'm not. I hope it just keeps getting worse and worse.
I hate being out in no man's land here for episode 7 because you give a damn.
He's the only one here that's excited about Star Wars.
Wait a minute. You still give fucks?
He does.
I do. And Disney today released these beautiful posters. And you guys won't care. So I'm just like, I'll just keep this to myself.
Wait a minute. I'll look at them. Let me look at it. By the way, Lizzie, are you excited about episode 7? Audience member?
Semi excited.
How do I find it? Episode 7 posters?
Yeah.
Okay, let's look at that. Matt, have you seen them?
No, I didn't even know about this.
Yeah, it's some really beautiful posters. It shows the aftermath of the battle on Endor.
Let's see here. Aren't these fan stuff?
Yeah,
no,
I was say, aren't those the fan-made ones?
No, this is from Disney.
Oh, okay.
All right, let's see. These Star Wars episodes, these are fan posters. Okay, I'm trying to find the right one. Well, how do you find,
I don't remember. Somebody had linked it. A friend of mine had linked it on Facebook, and I went that way. I don't remember where
it was.
Here we
go. Cinema Blend. I think I may have found it. It was on 8/25. These came out. These Star Wars 7 posters raised the bar for Disney. Let's see. Yeah, that's a pretty nice one. I mean, you don't have to get, even if you don't give fucks, you can admit if a poster's good, I guess. There's the Millennium Falcon all shot up with some wings there. Another one with a Star Destroyer wrecked in the water. It looks very Jar Jar Abramsy. Well, they look just like In the Darkness crap. Oh, shit. See, are these real?
Because
one of them has a partially constructed Death Star. We've never seen that before. Or is that the aftermath of Endor?
I think the motif is, the aftermath of Endor.
Okay, fair enough. I wanted so to bitch about it, but if that's what it is, I guess. Even though I hate Return of the Jedi, so my bitch stands. It's got Disney logo on. Well, I guess it's a real deal. I mean, yeah, they're nice. They look good. Matt, would it make me you'd have to give fucks to say they look good at all or anything, or no? You'd be safe, right?
Nah, you'd still be zero given.
No. Zero fucks.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. You give zero fucks, but you can at least, if you see the poster, if you have.
Yes, you can.
If they thought they looked.
You're allowed.
Yeah.
You're fine.
Well, Lizzie, you're sort of just on the fence about it, or what?
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
I guess I guess I'll have to, see them all again. Maybe possibly, skip one or two or three, or maybe do it, what's that? I can't even remember. There's this specific way that fans watch the movies, they watch, 4, 5, and then 1, 2, and then 6 and 3, or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a weird order, yeah.
Yeah, maybe I should just sit down and watch it in that order, and then just decide then if I'm excited for 7, but I don't know. I'm on the fence about it.
I can recommend an order. 4, 5, there you go.
That's it.
That's pretty much done. You're done. You're like, I've watched all the Star Wars movies. I don't have to watch Muppety Ewok things or prequels.
That was I attacked a friend on Facebook recently. She said, I feel like a Jaws marathon tonight because I think some channel was running all the Jaws movies. And I said, if that means watching the original Jaws 4 times, I'm with you. And she's you're an asshole.
Yes, I marathoned it on a loop because there's only one Jaws movie.
Yeah, just watch Jaws 4 times.
You may as well watch, unless you're going to watch Sharknado.
Did we ever talk about Sharknado 2?
No, I was just about to ask you about that.
We couldn't make it.
Couldn't do it.
I mean, the first one was horrible.
We abandoned it.
Yeah.
But
the first,
The novelty wore off. Like, it was... The novelty wore off quick in the second one. It was like, you know, this was cool when it was, like, just this weird one-off what-the-fuck thing. But now it's like you guys are trying way too hard, and you're trying way too hard to be stupid. And I hate to say this, but I'm like, and also, how do you make a movie worse than Sharknado?
How do you do that?
Like, Sharknado is one of the worst movies of all time, but I kind of like it just because it's fucking stupid. With Sharknado 2, I'm like...
Yeah, it's obsessed with, let's find a celebrity and kill them off.
Yeah, that's all it is
let's
now.
Let's have a celebrity on screen for like 10 seconds and then we'll kill them.
Yeah.
Who was it?
They killed Kelly Osbourne and Andy Dick and a couple other pseudo-celebrities.
I guess they're sort of celebrities.
Kind of.
Yeah, a little bit. Wow. Of course, seeing Andy Dick get killed, I mean, that has an appeal.
Who got killed?
You said Andy Dick got killed?
Oh, yeah, Andy Dick, he got killed.
Yeah, that'd be kind of good to see, I guess.
That was worth it.
Was Tara Reid in this one?
She wasn't. She got her hand cut off in the beginning.
Oh, my God. She's like Rick. Well, so...
Yes.
What the fuck?
A shark bit it off. It wasn't cut off. A shark bit it off. In a plane. Sharks attacked the plane at the beginning
sharks
of the movie.
Sharks on a plane.
Sharks on a plane.
Did they say I'm tired of these motherfucking sharks?
I have had it with these monkey-fighting sharks on this monkey-fighting plane.
God. Holy shit. Sharks on a plane. Wow.
Sharks on a plane. Don't let anybody hit sci-fi hear that, because they'll do that.
It's next. By the way, I did tell you both how Riff Trax went down with them doing Sharknado, right?
No.
I didn't tell you, I went to the Riff Trax. You know they did it. They did a Riff Trax live thingy.
Yeah.
Of Sharknado, and they're going to be doing the second one, I guess. It was great. It's tough to sit through, but it was great. But the thing is, I think I was shocked at how mean they were to Tara Reid. Dude, I'm almost uncomfortable mean. And it was fun. Oh, I'm like, wow, what did Tara Reid ever do to these guys? Because they're pretty brutal sometimes, and they're supposed to be. I mean, they're horrible to some people. But they must really hate the shit out of Tara Reid. I mean, they were like, I'm like, man, I think, you know, they're joking, and they're just plain mean. And yet I'm sitting here laughing at it. It's bad.
From everything I've read, she's just a horrible human being. So it was probably just, let's get her.
Oh, well, that's the difference. Never mind then.
Yeah.
They're pretty mean. Who's the main schlub in the movie, the 90210 guy or whatever?
Ian Ziering.
Oh.
Yeah, they were pretty mean to him, too. There were lines like, it's the fourth most popular guy from 90210.
Yeah.
Oh, God. They had a lot of pretty good... You know, I was disappointed they did not have a shark repellent bat spray joke. I was disappointed in the voice for that.
Gotta have
it. You know, we went, and then a couple weeks ago they did one of the worst movies ever made, and I'm sorry, the horrible 1998 Matthew Broderick Broadzilla movie, which is one of...
I still haven't seen that.
Really? Do yourself a favor and never watch it.
Yeah, I'm pretty much like, I don't want to, but I kind of want to, but yeah.
At least have some, you know, have like a bucket next to the, you know, to you or something, or maybe a hammer to throw at the television. You know, it's, have either of you guys seen it?
Oh, yeah.
Look, you know, I love my boys, my Riff Trax boys and stuff, and it was tough to sit through even with them trashing it. I mean, have you ever felt like you were sitting somewhere for days? It felt like... Because, see, in 1998, my friends and I, about three-quarters of the way through, we ran out of the theater. So I just fucked it. It's bad.
Opening night at the theater, we had it scheduled for two shows, one at 8 and one at 8:15. And we couldn't sell out one of those 8 or 8:15 shows, so we ended up canceling the 8 o'clock show and just combining everybody for the 8:15.
Wow. That's crazy. That fucking movie sucked. And they made it funny. They always do, but there's sometimes when you watch one, like Birdemic is so unbelievably bad, but somehow they really knocked it out of the park on that one. This one, Jonathan, Jonathan said, you know, he said he was wanting to leave, and he loves Riff Trax. He's like, this is the worst thing. I mean, even with them, it's tough to sit through.
One of the greatest things I ever saw was we were watching MST3K, and we've talked about this before. It was Jack Frost. And
holy
Matt,
shit.
Matt goes on Facebook and just rails about Jack Frost, about this. God, it was so awful.
That's what he did the other day.
Yeah.
Come on there and you say, watch the MST3K version. Matt goes, we did!
Holy shit! Oh, my God. Some of them, no matter how, even if they're being funny, you just want to jump off something because you're like, I can't. Jonathan was that way with Manos, the Hands of Fate. That's, if you think Jack Frost is bad, dude, I'm telling you. Have you seen Manos, the Hands of Fate?
I have not.
Mm-mm.
First of all, the title itself should tell you something. It's Manos means hands, right? So it's Hands, the Hands of Fate.
Hands of Fate.
There are MST3K fans who think it's worse than Jack Frost. I'm not sure, though. And Jonathan and I have the argument about what was worse, Birdemic or Manos.
Yeah.
He thinks Birdemic is better. He hates Manos worse. Manos really made him, it makes you want to cut your hands off, pretty much. He said he almost wanted to just jump off of something. And he said, I can watch Birdemic and laugh at it. He said, Manos just makes him crazy. He's like, it's so horrible. So I'd be interested in you guys, if you ever get a chance to see it, to see if you think it's at least as bad as Jack Frost.
Hands of Fate. I'll have to look at that. But
yeah,
you know,
me too.
Talking about things repeating, yeah. I never thought about this till Matthew brought it up one time. He goes, do you know that DC stands for Detective Comics? I said, yeah. And he goes, do you know that DC Comics is Detective Comics Comics? I'm like, oh my God, I never thought about that.
What?
You explain it, Matt. DC Comics...
DC
Detective Comics Comics.
DC is Detective Comics. So DC Comics call themselves DC Comics. They are Detective Comics Comics.
Comics Comics.
I don't know if they realized.
Well, now that you mention it, yes, they are. So basically they work for the Department of Redundancy Department.
Yes.
Exactly.
They should have a new superhero, Redundant Man.
Detective Comics Comics.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I never
thought,
oh my God.
I have a question for you,
blowing.
Matt, by the way.
Go ahead. Ask Matt.
What happened?
I have a question for you, Matt. Which one is worse, Joyride 2 or Jack Frost?
Jack Frost.
Okay.
wait a minute. What was the first one you asked? Which one?
Joyride
2.
Joyride 2.
I got one then. If we're going to play that game, Jack Frost or Party Monster.
Oh!
Jack Frost.
Are you kidding me?
Wow.
Yeah, Jack Frost.
Remember when we did our worst list, we excluded the MST3K movies?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because then, you know, but if you're not making that exclusion, what you're saying, Matthew, is that Jack Frost is still worse than Party Monster. Wasn't Party Monster your number one?
Party Monster was number one. I've now moved Party Monster to number two, and Jack Frost is number one.
Right, but... Unless we're using the rule that we don't go with the B movies, right?
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. Wow, Jack Frost. I never was able to sit all through that. Now I guess I need to go back and watch it.
I've seen Hands of Fate, and I still think Jack Frost is worse.
Ooh, man, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Have
you seen
down
Werewolf?
I've watch all these films that you guys are mentioning because I haven't seen that. What was it? Hands of Fate?
Yeah, it's called Manos, the Hands of Fate. It was made in mid '60s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's about how do you say what it's about, man? It's about this couple that and their kid that drives around in the countryside and ends up at some unbelievably ridiculous, horrible looking hotel with a bunch of Satan worshipers.
Yeah.
And a bunch of Satan worshippers, and it was looked like it was basically filmed on a friggin' 8mm camera.
But it does have Torgo.
And you know the guy who played Torgo died because of that movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, he did?
He died because, yeah, he had to wear some kind of stupid leg brace thingy to so he could have a messed up walk or something.
Yep.
And it ended up actually infecting him some way. Somehow it messed his... It
was like a stab effect,
died,
right?
Yeah. And he died from
God.
That.
Yeah.
Oh,
disturbing.
That's very disturbing, yeah.
It doesn't, however, stop Mike, no, huh?
Jack Frost is so bad that Matthew can't even just find the fun in it being bad.
No.
I mean, it's not like you're watching, like, The Manitou, and it's just so awful
yeah.
that it's fun. He was not having a good time with this thing. I was, because it was just so awful, so terrible. But he just looked like his world had ended.
It was rage. It was rage. It was like, it was Party Monster level rage.
Wow. Wow, but this one didn't have Macaulay Culkin.
Well, that's a good thing.
Yeah, well, okay. So you think, so you're saying Macaulay Culkin couldn't have saved Jack Frost?
No. not even Matt Damon, the greatest actor of our generation, could have saved Jack Frost.
Wow. What about the Matt Damon puppet saying, Matt Damon? That might have
That might have been okay.
That might have been
okay. By the way, so Matt, you know about Torgo then?
Yes.
Well, Torgo, did I tell you what happened at DragonCon about this? There was this guy
Are you talking about that guy who was doing Torgo cosplay?
No, he wasn't, though.
Oh, no, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, there was the, Lizzie, they had the 50th anniversary ball. For Doctor Who last year, and so it was a big dance and everything at the Dragon Con, and everyone was
yeah.
running around in costume, Doctor Who costumes, and there was this guy, he walks in, and if you haven't seen Torgo from that episode, from that movie, put it to you like this, this guy is doing a cosplay of, remember the Doctor Who episode with Vincent Van Gogh?
Yeah.
With that
yeah.
stupid... that straw hat thing or whatever. Well, this guy was clearly going mm-hmm. for that. He was there as Vincent Van Gogh from that Doctor Who episode. But
okay.
he walked by, and just like a friggin' idiot, I just saw him, and even though I'm in the Doctor Who ball, I didn't think of that at all. The first
no.
thing I thought of, because I've seen people do Torgo cosplay before, and
yeah.
so I made a Torgo, I mean, joke, hey, Torgo, and he wasn't mad or anything. He said, well, who is Torgo? I've never, that's you're like the third or fourth person that's asked me that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Van Gogh from Doctor Who. And I was like, oh, yeah, yeah. So I had to explain it to him. So everyone else thought he was Torgo, too. It wasn't just me. Like, wow, he's Vincent Van Gogh, but he's, you know, MST3K people. Because you've seen Torgo cosplay. No, I mean, someone cosplaying Vincent Van Gogh from a Doctor Who episode? I'm like, yeah, it was a Doctor Who party, I get it, but, you know, weird, huh?
It's unusual to cosplay a side character, I guess.
It is, and there were, you know, and that was a fun, that was a fun party thing. There were, like, a couple of people there with costumes from classic Doctor Who that, like, they were so happy that I recognized their costume because most of the people didn't. There was really
mm-hmm.
some obscure ones. best costumes I saw there, by the way, there were people who did the Vasa Narada. He looked amazing.
Cool.
Spooky. And then, oh, and I also liked the one that had a Ninth Doctor cosplay with the bitchy trampoline. What's her name? Cassandra. And they had the whole thing look perfect. And the two guys, like, moisturizer and everything.
Oh, my God.
So, Matt, you really think Jack Frost is the worst one of all?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Wow. What about you, Flash? If you broke your rule and if we didn't adhere to the B movie rule that we made?
Hmm. Oh, the worst.
I mean, you think Jack Frost is worse than Burt Dimmick?
I don't know, because like you and I discussed, sometimes there's a perverse enjoyment to a movie that's really bad. Like, if it's really bad, but you can find some fun in it, I'll watch it. Oh, gosh, the worst
movie ever made. The worst movie I've ever seen. God. Probably. I'm gonna put 300 up there pretty high.
And, wow! I remember that was on your list. Wow.
Yeah, 300. I despise 300 with a passion. I hate that movie so bad.
Mm.
And probably Citizen Kane, because I'm sick of hearing about it.
Kane. Wow.
Let me say that Citizen Kane is the most boring movie I've ever seen. Let's put it that way.
Wow. That's pretty bad. I guess you probably know. I don't know if you know or not, Flash, but what was one of the funniest things about when we did those lists back then was that Matt had one on his list that was on his worst list that was on Lizzie's best list, right?
Yeah.
Right. Oh, yeah. How about that, Matt?
That was funny to me. Somehow that was just funny.
Which one?
Yeah. Put that in the bracket. Put
Eternal
that in the bracket.
Eternal Sunshine.
Which
Eternal
one?
Sunshine.
Oh,
Eternal
God.
Sunshine. I mean, it's what... Why I think that's funny, it's different. Like, if it's not one of those things where you go, yeah, I really like that movie. Yeah, I couldn't stand it. I hate it. It was actually so much so that one side put it in the top 25 favorites, and the other one put it in the top 25 most hated. That's the funny thing. Again, in and of itself, it's not that funny, because some people, we all disagree on stuff. But the fact that one, like, the disparate, you know, see what I'm saying? The disconnect between the two is hilarious.
Okay, Matt.
I remember that he was so angry about it. He was like, "Why did you make me watch this shit?"
All right, Matt. Eternal Sunshine versus Jack Frost.
Jack Frost by a mile.
Okay.
By 10 miles.
Man, I haven't seen. I don't know if I ever watched all of that. Now I'm gonna go back and watch Jack Frost tonight.
I only watched MST3K.
Oh yeah, I'm not insane enough to watch it without the.
Don't be a sadist about this.
Yeah.
No. Look, you know, it's funny. Have you ever seen Mitchell? The MST3K? Either one of you,
Mitchell?
Matt, have you seen that?
No.
You ever heard of a really stupid movie called Mitchell? MST3K did. It was the first one when Mike Nielsen took over for Joel, in fact. And it was this really dumb, lame-ass, dull. It's not like the worst thing they've ever done, but it's really stupid. It's not very good, and it's fun. It's Joe Don Baker. And it's like mid to early 70s movie. So much so that Joe Don Baker...
Oh,
yeah.
Joe Don Baker, like, got mad at him. He wrote him letters and stuff. He wants to beat the crap. He wants to kick their ass. And he said, there's even the scene where Michael said, "You guys watch Joe Don Baker movies?" I mean, they were brutal to him. But I bought the DVD of that. It's called Mitchell. And, you know, it's, I bought the DVD of that, and there's a special, the MST3K one. And on the end, and they said they've got this special feature so you can watch it without their commentary. I'm like, who in the fuck would want to do that?
I would want to do that.
Oh, that and Manos, by the way. I have the DVD of Manos, of them doing Manos. And so you can watch it without them. I said, are you out of your mind? So I guess, I wonder if that's the same thing for Jack Frost on their special, on the DVD.
You have to be a real sick individual to watch it without them.
where was the one you made for? Is that movie Swiss or something?
It's
Norwegian, something like that.
Yeah,
it's Norwegian, isn't it?
I think so. Yeah, I mean, it's Finnish.
Like, yeah, from the 60s?
Yeah.
60s, early 70s maybe? I'm thinking 60s.
Wow. There have been times when there have been movies that and everyone has an off day, so maybe they weren't hitting on all cylinders. But I'm like, you know what? They're not getting me with the jokes because this movie's so bad. I want to destroy, destroy the universe.
I tell you, one movie I would love for MST3K to have done was The Manitou, but I don't think they ever did it.
If they didn't, it's only because they couldn't get the rights. Because you know they would probably want to. I wonder if they did. I don't think they did. Mm-hmm. And they did a lot of movies. So, wow. That would be great, though. Yeah, that'd be fantastic. There's so many movies they can do now. I tell you what, the Riff Tracks, if you go to YouTube and just watch some of their compilations, I like just doing that sometimes. Just like if you go watch their compilations of The Room. By the way, Lizzie, have you seen The Room?
I don't think so.
It's Matt's all-time favorite book.
If you hesitate and you went, you haven't seen it.
Right. Yeah. So you don't know of it then. Obviously, you hadn't heard anything about it because, again, like you said, even if you hadn't, you'd know. But if you heard The Room, you'd go, ugh. That would be your response.
Okay.
If you someone missed The Room, yeah. So obviously, you've never told Lizzie about The Room then, Matt.
No. I thought we talked about it once.
No, we didn't.
Oh, man.
You're keeping secrets from me, man.
You must introduce her to the wonders of Waisu.
Waisu is a cinematic genius.
Okay.
By the way, that's another guy they're kind of obsessed with on Riff Tracks, because Godzilla, they had some Waisu jokes when they were doing Godzilla the other night.
Oh, man.
Oh, hi, Godzilla.
Hi, Godzilla. Oh, hi, Ferris Bueller.
Oh, hi there. Holy shit. If there's a worst actor of all time, if you're only in one movie, can you qualify? And do you think he's the worst?
He's so bad, I think it only takes one.
Do you think he's worse than the actors? Well, I'm sorry to use the word actor. The actors in Birdemic are just as bad, though.
Worse.
Who are we talking about?
Waisu.
Oh.
Waisu, whatever his name is.
Waisu,
for some reason, I thought we were talking about Matthew Broderick. I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah, I was kind of like,
no.
Broderick? Wait?
No. Yeah, I've got Broderick.
He probably is the worst actor of all time just because, I mean, if it's one movie, yeah. But look at the movie and look at how bad he is. I don't think I've seen a performance that's that bad before, except maybe for Travolta
really?
In Battlefield Earth.
He takes it to a whole new level. I mean, he just owns it.
Yeah, because at least Travolta has been okay in other stuff.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
In other words, Waisu is he worse than the guys in Birdemic, though? I mean, the guy in Birdemic, the main guy.
Yeah.
That's pretty
bad. He's totally worse.
Wow. That's amazing. He probably is, but I'm saying, wow. That's just... The guy in Birdemic can barely even walk.
Totally worse.
Wow. What about Birdemic, Lizzie? Haven't heard of that one?
Heard of it. Still haven't seen it.
Well, I wouldn't recommend that one without the riff tracks either. Oh, God. But, yeah, well, The Room, the thing is, if you just, Lizzie, the thing to do, because I've never been, either one of you actually sat through all of The Room, though?
I have not.
I still don't believe people when they tell me they have. Matt, you haven't, have you? Matt? We have lost Matthew.
No, we lost him. We lost R2.
We've lost R2. Oh, my. Well, if Matt tells me that he sat through, I'm not going to believe him. I'm not going to believe anyone. If anyone who ever tells me they've sat in through all of The Room, I'm not going to believe him. I'm going to choose not to believe him. However, you can go to YouTube and, like, hit Riff Tracks, The Room, and they have, like, a big 10-minute clip of some of their funniest lines in the thing. And that's all you ever need. I've watched various Riff Tracks clips flash, and that's all I can ever do, because at least I get them trash again.
The best way to watch The Room is to search for the selected scene, best moments of The Room, and that's enough.
Yeah. Although there's a guy who does, I forgot, some guy who does has a vlog on there that reviews movies. I think my daughter made me watch it one time. It's like a little 30-minute thing where he just shows bits of it. And I'm like, oh, my God. By the way, Lizzie, People, just such a cult classic. It's from like 2004 or something. They have screenings all over the country in various cities where they people get together and watch it. Like Rocky Horror, you know, they love.
Yeah, yeah.
except in Rocky Horror, whether it's bad or not, it's got all this music and all these things that, you know, these activities you can do because there's musical numbers and all that shit.
Yeah.
With the room, I don't know how they have any fun with the room other than just making fun of it, but...
It's probably what they do, yeah. They probably
repeat
the lines as they come up, like they probably, you know, go along with it. You know, it's probably very much like Rocky Horror, where they just say the lines as they happen. People probably have it memorized.
Wyzoo came here to New Orleans at some point because two friends of mine told me last time I talked to them, they said they met him at one of those screenings. And they said he was nice at first, and he started really getting nutty. Yeah. That's who I know you'd love to interview him, Flash.
Who, Tommy? Oh, God, I don't think I could.
Hi, Flash. How are you?
I really don't think I could. I don't think I could do it, man. I don't think there's any way to do it.
But I know you love my movie. My movie is high art. You just don't understand it.
He would get pissed off at me within the first 10 seconds, and it would be over.
Yeah, because he called the Riff Trax guys after they did his movie, and he screamed and yelled at him on the phone with that accent. And he said they put him on speaker, and they said it was the best day of their lives. It was the funniest.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
He is. Seriously, go look at it on YouTube when you get a chance. The room, it doesn't have to be the Rip Jack one, but that's funnier. And go look at that guy and ask yourself, this again, I guess a lot of people say the reason why, I think the Rip Jack guy said this, the reason why this is worse than some other movies is, you know, other movies, you can kind of tell these actors don't know what they're doing. This is a guy who thought he was being Brando.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, he's totally convinced that he's doing something great here.
Oh God,
yeah.
That's kind of the worst thing when watching movies, when people are like really convinced that they're doing great, and you just sit there as a spectator and go, oh no.
Exactly.
That's like everybody's done that thing where an actor is so horrible or a scene is so embarrassing, you look away from the screen. You're embarrassed for them, and you just like hide your eyes and you look away, and you're like, oh my God,
yeah.
He wants it.
That's how I watch my movies. That's secondhand embarrassment.
Is it really?
Yeah, you see, you kind of just feel sorry for the actors and stuff, is what you're saying.
Yeah, you just kind of like put your hands over your eyes and you like look away and you're just, I don't know why people do that, but yeah, it's
or
a universal
thing. Start fiddling with things or putting it on pause and just gathering up courage to actually finish the scene.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just can't do it. Well, now, I wouldn't want to interview the guy, but if I had the chance to talk to him for a minute, just like somewhere, I would totally jump on him just to see how nutty he really is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, meet him. Like, if they had one of the screenings in town again or whatever, I might go to it. They have them every now and then. They have them, but if he were at it or something, I mean, yeah. So, but
oh, yeah,
you know,
we'd do it.
Look, some actors won't watch their movies. I don't know if it's true or not,
but
some
could.
Shatner says he never watches his.
I don't think I could. I don't think I could.
Mm,
yeah.
I don't think I could either.
Really? So if you go do the work, and if everyone's gives you an Academy Award for how great you were, you can't watch it. I can see that. I can understand it. I don't think I could. Yeah, because you like watch it just the one time, or not even then. Like at the premiere, they go to their own premieres.
Yeah, but sometimes people like go to the premieres and then they sit through like 5-10 minutes and then they sneak out.
Ah,
yeah.
I guess that is. Well, Shatner claims he won't watch it. He didn't watch his movies. He never watched anything he ever did.
Yeah,
I don't know if I believe that.
I don't think I could. I don't think I could do it. You know, you and I talked about this one night about listening back to your shows, and you said you
I hate
back
mine.
Yours, that only if I need to hear something, because it just sounds bad to me.
Yeah, it's atrocious.
Yeah, it's like, but everybody was saying, no, you're crazy. I'm like, I don't know. You begin to doubt yourself, and you hate the sound of your own voice, and this and that. And so, yeah, I can totally see how people wouldn't do that.
Yeah, you're right. That makes sense. I can't stand to listen to mine. It terrifies me to listen to mine. I hate mine so much. If I'm with guests or like if I have you all or something like that, I can a little bit, but still when I hear me. And when I used to do it completely solo all the time, oh, God, no. You're right. I'm
the same way with writing. If I write a story for a paper or something like that, I won't read it again because all I'm going to do then is say, I shouldn't have said that, or this should have been this, or that should be. Yeah, it's a self, you know, you begin to tear yourself apart.
I'm exactly the same way. When I write a blog, just an opinion piece or something like that.
You're done with
You're done. No, I'm the worst. I'm saying that I see what you're saying because I'm the worst. I go back and edit it 50 million times. I can't leave it alone. I can't. And I read it not out of egomania because I'm terrified it sucks and I want to change it every time.
Right. No, yeah, exactly.
That, I get people like, I deserve the way I got picked on for my Man of Rubber, my Man of Stool review. Because, and by the way, I've tweaked it and got it the way I want it, but the thing is, it's fucking, I mean, it might, if you printed it out onto, not that you would, it would be 1,000 pages. Because, Jesus Christ, I don't know if you've ever even seen it. Anyone who's seen it, say, well, and I went back and changed a lot of stuff and added stuff because I kept wanting to add stuff. And they're like, when I look at it now, people say, well, that's interesting, but my God, look how long it is. I know, I couldn't help it. And I'm embarrassed by how long the damn thing is. I'm embarrassed, so I went in to change it, and I'm like, I can't change anything. I want every word in there. And it's horrible, and it sucks, but I don't want to change it. It's weird. We lost Matthew, man. What is wrong with that boy? Oh, well.
Yeah, we had it blinked out. Something blinked out on us.
Now, you know what? But if I had a TARDIS, I would come get you, Lizzie, and you, Flash, and Matt, and I would bring you to Dragon Con to hang out because I wish you all could be there with me this week. And, I think, you know, one of these days I want to come up to a con up there.
Those things, yeah, they're a lot of fun. I enjoy them. I've not been to as many as I would like, but, I enjoy them. Yeah.
I wish there was a con that's a real big one that's going to be up there near you guys when that shitty Fantastic Four reboot comes out. Because I really would love to go with you two to see that.
we'll have to keep an eye open on that.
But you know what? The only thing is, you'd probably be losing a son because we come out and he would you and I would be talking how much it sucks, and he'd say, "Oh, it's not that bad," and then we would both have to kill him.
Yeah, we would have to kill him. Yeah,
we would have to push him in front. We would just have to push him in front of a truck or something. I mean, this would be, you know, if he dares
probably
to say anything nice about that movie.
He would probably troll us anyway. So. Yeah, he'd just troll us. Say, I thought Michael B. Jordan was amazing. I thought, you know, the direction was astounding. And then
I liked Velvet. Yeah.
Got to beat him about the face and neck and leave him somewhere.
Yes. Yes. It would almost be worth it, though. Oh,
but, yeah,
man.
Trolling's fun, though. Trolling's fun. We just had a bout of trolling here, which was amazing. You would have loved it. I mean, it was greatest thing ever. I wish I had planted a camera and just recorded the whole thing. My wife has recently become addicted to The Walking Dead, as you may or may not know.
Oh. Yeah.
She used to make fun of me. When's your stupid show going to be over? Stupid. Never seen a second of it, though, right? But then she became, like, this secretive closet watcher. Like I would be in the living room watching it, and she would say something once in a while. I'm like, why are you even paying attention to this? Yeah, I thought it was stupid. It is stupid. Well, finally, one day, she relents, and she's like, I'm going to watch the pilot. I said, okay, let you watch the pilot. So anyway, fast forward to season 4. And first of all, we thought we were going to have to have her in therapy when Dale dies because she just broke down like a sobbing child. But anyway, her favorite character on the show is Carol. And we recently got to the episode where you're not a watcher, are you? Well, anyway, Rick,
you know me.
Rick banishes Carol from the group. Banished.
Oh.
Kicks her out. My wife went over this. She lost her goddamn mind. Who the hell does this guy think he is? She went fucking nuts, right? So Matt and I have just been tormenting her because Matt comes to me and he goes, you do know she's not going to catch a break on this because the next episode the governor returns and she hates the governor, right? So it was a 1-2 punch. Shit. Carol gets kicked out. Then the next episode the governor returns. And then there are two episodes all about the governor. And we just taunted her. And Matt just taunted her that the governor was a good guy. He's misunderstood. Carol got what she deserved. And we just just jammed our fingers in her eyes. And she got so pissed off. She's like, you know what? I quit. I quit. I'm not watching anymore. I'm done. I quit. I quit. I'm out. I'm out. And I said, well, then I can finish season four while you're visiting your dad, right? I don't care. Go ahead. Go ahead. Knock yourself out. Which was just a test to see how done she really was, right? Anyway, she's back on. But it was just so fun just to jam, just to troll somebody like that and to drop, you know, false information on her and say, what are you going to do when the end of the season when Carol gets killed? And she's like, what? What? She gets killed? And it's just so much fun to torment her. But it's just so much fun to be a troll. And that's what Matt would do. He would be a troll.
He would. He'd say, "Wow, you know, the he would do. He would totally, especially if you hated it as if you hated it as much as I did. If both of you liked it, then I would really be in trouble. I mean, a double homicide would not be out of the question. I'm just saying. You know.
I don't see that happening.
No, I don't think you could like something this idiotic. But Matt likes, you know, being the youngster. He likes that stuff. He likes the troll. But sometimes I'm like, man, dude, some of the, I don't know. We're just different on that stuff, but." Yeah, I could
see
about
how about Lizzie? Like, Lizzie, do you ever troll anybody?
Yes.
Oh, that's
much,
a yes.
I think.
That's
yes,
a yes.
Matt, probably. She trolls Matt, I'm sure.
Probably. Without him realizing.
You do it to Matt all the time, so. Where is he put some kind of thing on his Facebook today about watching a Walking Dead.
No,
oh, I haven't got the story on that yet. I'll have to find that out. Yeah.
Oh yeah, it's because he's playing the Telltale games with The Walking Dead and someone dared him to do a before and after shot like they do sometimes with video games where you know it's gonna end bad. You do like the before shot where you're all happy and excited and the after shot where you're like in shock or whatever, and he was like, okay, I can do this, I'll do this. So he's like all happy, and then when he finished the game, he texted me and he's like, I need a puppy, I need something, because he was completely broken.
Oh, it's a game then. It's a,
yeah,
a Walking
it's a game.
Dead game. Oh, video game. Okay.
Yeah,
I did
it's
not
like
know that was a video game.
It's two seasons with 5 episodes each, and you play through an episode.
Ah,
and
wow.
Episode 5, the season final of season 2, was just released today. So.
Oh man.
The poor guy sat down and played it and was traumatized for life.
Oh god!
Oh,
man.
I love that Matt put that picture up and he's just like, just got this horrible face, and his mother comments, "What's wrong with you?"
Oh yeah, I saw that. His mom, like, "What's wrong with you?" Like, she took.
What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? You know, she went into a panic.
Oh man! Oh Lord!
She went into some kind of panic.
Oh yeah! I love it. Well, man, I still can't get over it. Flash. I can't. The popularity of Walking Dead being what it is astonishing to me. Not because I'm trashing the show. I only watched like the first 5 and never did because you know my history with the comic. I read the comic for so many years.
Right.
And I used to say, man, this should be a TV show. And I was sure. I said it for so long, I was like, they're never going to do one. And then sure enough, by the time I'm fed up with the comic and pissed off at it and I drop it, and I've told you that plenty of times before, then the TV show comes around and I'm like, man, now I'm over. I just can't get it. I don't know. Maybe one day I'll watch it. I don't know. But, I mean, it's just how popular it is amazing. It's just
lightning
huge,
in a bottle.
Man.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's extraordinary. Have you watched it, Lizzie?
Like,
no?
Yeah. I'm, like, up to season 4, I think. Yeah.
How many seasons are there now?
They're starting season 5 in October.
Yeah. Season 5 premieres October 12th.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. There you go. I guess you're a little bit looking forward to that one then, Flasher.
Oh, counting down the days. My sister and I are just such huge fans that my sister says, it's a shame that I wish my life away for television.
They don't make many episodes, do they?
They have increased it pretty much with each season. The first season, there was 6 episodes. And then the second season, they upped the show order, I think, to 12?
Yeah,
and
12.
Now it's at 16, and they seem to have found that magic number. They just stuck with 16. They don't want to go any higher than 16. Which is a good thing, because it prevents a lot of dragging and things like that. Because sometimes a show goes 22 episodes. You got to do a lot of filler nonsense, which goes nowhere. But 16 episodes seem to keep it tight and lean, and I think they've just settled on that number.
Well, do you think that rumor's true about making Norman Reedus' character gay?
No, I think that's Kirkman just messing with the fan.
Yeah.
I haven't even heard that rumor.
Yeah, well, Kirkman's like that. He's an absolutely total dick, to be honest with you. He loves screwing with fans. So, I wouldn't put it past him. Yeah, but, I mean, again, not that I care. What's the classic? Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so. But I wonder, I'm just wondering if they will do it. And what do you think the reaction would be if they actually did it by the lady fans? Because he's very popular with the lady fans. You know that, right, Flash? And Lizzie, he's very popular. You like him, Lizzie?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he's one of my favorite characters.
Well, what would you think of them doing that, then? Would you have a problem with it? I mean, it's just a character in a TV show, but, I mean, would it bother you or no?
No. I've never really, like, get bothered by, like, if they, you know, come out of the closet or whatever. I'm like, okay, fine. If there's a valid reason for you coming out of the closet, that is, that's fine with me. Like, character development or whatever, that's fine. But, you know, do it right.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, there you go. And, again, I think that's a good, if it's something that works for the character, that's fine. I think, though, the fact that if Kirkman's really thinking about doing it for the reason you're talking about, there's nothing wrong with that. If he's floating it out there, though, just to mess with people, then I'm like, wow, that's kind of, it's either do it or don't. Floating it out there, I don't know. Or if it's even him doing it. I don't know if he's the one, if he was just asked to comment on it or what.
Hmm. I think it's maybe just because to kill the romance rumors, because everyone's like, Daryl should be with Beth, or Daryl should be with Carol, and like, maybe he should just, you know, be with a guy instead. Maybe that's what they're doing.
Hmm. Yeah, that could be it then. You wouldn't have a problem with it, would you, Flasher? Wouldn't bother you? Let's see what happened. Whoa, I lost Flash too.
Oh my god.
I guess it's the record. Yeah, I think it's the, I don't know, sometimes this happens when it's during record mode of the show, or, you know, the after mode of the show. Oh,
uh-huh.
Well. You know, they're all gone there. Well, Lizzie, anything, do you think we covered enough on Doctor Who there? We kind of covered most of that new, that's only one episode, so.
Yeah. I think we pretty much covered, like, as much as we could.
Yeah.
To begin with, without Matt, it was kind of, yeah. We did as much as we could, then he came in and helped us.
I hope he had his say and spoke his piece and was good about that. So, well, that's good.
He did.
Sorry we lost him there. Well, you know, I cannot thank you enough for hanging out with me again, and I really appreciate it. I love it when you come on the show, and I hope you will do so again. As the show, as the series progresses, let's talk about it again, and maybe in a few episodes, see how the series is shaking, how the season is shaking up. How is it, if you're able to, I would love to have you back on.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, I do appreciate it. I want to thank you so much. Thank everyone. Lizzie, you are fabulous, and I just love having you
thank
on the show.
You.
I want to thank Matt and Flash, and we appreciate it, everyone. We will be back. I'm going to Dragon Con. Anyone who's going to be there, anyone listening on the archive feed, anyone going to be there, I hope you all have a fantastic time there. I've been going almost 20 years, Lizzie, and I've not once seen a dragon. A real one, anyway. Actually, that's not true. I've seen cosplay dragons. I guess that counts,
well,
right?
Well, that's disappointing. Not even like a tiny wyvern or something?
Yeah, we see those sometimes. But not like real ones. They're cosplay. They're cosplay, but I guess... Again, never understood why was even called Dragon Con. But, you know, maybe because there are a lot of people in drag. I don't know. Which is, there are, by the way. It's a, for, I don't know if you've ever heard of it, Lizzie, but it is a huge cosplay con, you know, so... Do you go to many cons and you go to many cons at all or no?
No, not really.
Yeah, you don't have too many of them near you or?
No, I'm more like big crowds. Like I would rather just watch from the sidelines.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. It is fun going to watch the costumes and stuff though.
Yeah.
Well, again, thank you so much for being on. I really appreciate it, and I hope you have a wonderful night. I know it's very late over there, so I really appreciate it. And I want to thank you and thank everyone. And I guess I should play us out with some Doctor Who music. Here we go. Thank you so much, everyone.
Bye.
Love this. Bye-bye.